What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
And then Mini Del Macho.
This is Anders Logic.
All right.
Bobby, I really like that the intro you made. My favorite being that Final Fantasy VII look. That you're not even a Final Fantasy fan, but you put that in there and it makes me happy. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, we got to get some Final Fantasy in there. I recognize that that's an important game in PC gaming. Well, in gaming in general, even though I choose not to play it. But
I wish I had a Final Fantasy. Like, my fantasies switch faster than Pornhub can keep up, so I get bored every once in a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Just saying.
So you're part of that Brigitte numbers?
Mm-hmm. And how
is that Frub in the chat?
That it is.
Oh shit!
Hey, dude.
Yeah,
you had a lot to do with that intro.
Yeah,
thank you, Frub.
Audio for that. We still owe him something for that, don't?
Yeah. The only reason he hasn't got it is he hasn't friended me on Steam, so I could send him the game of his choice.
Okay.
So get on that, Frubs.
We'll get on that, and we should all give Chad a little credit. He made a lot of those graphics. Those might end up on T-shirts soon, so look out for that.
Was that new Chad or old Chad?
That was old Chad.
Old Chad.
Oh, does new Chad have any skills?
Chad 1.0. I know. I mean, apparently good dick sucking skills.
Yeah.
That's
Whoa.
How we get all the nice shit.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
That's
my salt level is so high. Just kidding.
TTP was like 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's time to be in.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not smoochy. I'm raunchy. So.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
She had her coffee.
And her okay, she has several beverages in front of her. A cold coffee, a hot coffee, and a water, but not normal water. It's alkaline.
Yeah, so. pH balance.
Fun. All right. Well, let's talk about some games on the radar. Some games that we have noticed this week that has caught our attention. I wanted to start out with Flashpoint Fire Rescue. This game, that title, first of all, is not selling me. It sounds very bad. But I took a look at this game. $20. It is a casual strategy indie board game where you are trying to rescue people from a fire, and it's turn-based.
You know what this reminds me of just from the video and the graphics? It reminds me of every single fire that has ever started in The Sims. And it's almost a game that seems like it's built around that chaotic fiasco of starting a fire. That's cool, though, Bobby. What else can you tell us about this game?
Not much. It looks cool. That's what caught my eye.
Are there any people? There are fires in these buildings, but I'm not seeing The Sims. Where are they?
Well, Steam has the worst video player ever here. I fuck with this thing more than... There we go. All right, it's going.
All right. So you're trying to rescue people, and the fire is
you're the fire
multiplying.
Department. You show up, you're trying to rescue people. There's fire in different parts. It's tile-based or grid-based, and there's a fire just zapping around.
That doesn't
look like a fire spirit.
The graphics, the gameplay, you know, the turn-based is just such a fun style of game. The strategy, it's marked as casual, so it's not like something that's going to frustrate you. I don't know.
It's adorable, though. It seems like it would be right down the alley of plant versus zombie fans.
It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people play in this game. 25 total peak.
Wow.
Yeah, ooh. Not a whole lot.
But hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You could be the 26th person, Bobby.
It came out, March, it says? Yeah, March 29th.
March 29th, 2018.
So about a few weeks ago.
It seems like a very good quality game, so don't let the audience kind of stray you away from checking this game out, or the title.
Yeah. Flying is saying this was a game on SNES. Really?
Doesn't look like one.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that. What games have you guys been checking out?
Dauntless?
Oh, yeah. On the radar, coming up, Dauntless, May 24th is the open beta. If you guys are looking for a game to hold you over for until Monster Hunter. Yeah, Monster Hunter comes out.
You guys
out.
Did play the closed beta of this, correct?
Yeah, I actually played it a little bit more recently. And nothing much has changed, even with the new update. Like, they still have the same amount of weapons. They have a few new monsters. But this game, it's a fun game to play with friends. Just going around and killing a big-ass monster that's probably going to kick your ass.
So this is open beta. Anybody can sign up for it?
Yes. That's going up again May 24th, so in about a month.
Okay, cool.
You know what I could really use out of this game? I would really like some combo-based attacks with other classes. Like, you know, you do something with a heavy sword, and then you queue up that you need a heavy axe, not you, but just an automated system.
Such as chain attacks?
Yeah, like chain attacks between different classes.
Okay, that's really cool.
It doesn't have it. I wanted to have it because EverQuest 2 had that. And like you kind of would be like, you do your thing, mm-hmm. and then some symbols would come up with who could fill in the next spot. And if somebody did it in time,
really?
Then yeah. And so it would just like...
Final Fantasy did that too.
Oh, yeah?
And not necessarily with the symbol and the trigger. You almost had to look up different chain reactions.
Oh, yeah,
and you could chain multiple times, and it made combat very, very fun.
Yeah, that's what this game needs.
Hmm. All right, so Flying Hawaiian is saying that The Fireman is the name of the game for the SNES 1994. I'm checking it out on YouTube. Dude, what's up with all that text?
It's a Japanese game made in the mid-90s. There's going to be a lot of text.
Okay. So, yeah, I see a similarity here.
Yeah, this isn't turn-based. It's more of a...
Yeah, this looks like an action game.
Yeah.
Or like maybe like an RPG.
Kind of like a twin-stick shooter.
Yeah, kind of does look like a twin-stick shooter. Yeah. If he had it back then.
And one guy is doing all the work, and I don't know how he carries all that water with him. And what's that other guy doing?
I think he's just a partner to carry out or to axe fire.
Oh, he's axing stuff.
Hitting the fire with an axe.
Yeah. That's pretty adorable. I've never played this game, but it seems like a lot of fun.
I wonder why he's... I'd like to ask him why he's doing so little.
Yeah.
I think he's just like a partner like Tails and Sonic. He's just kind of like your secondary guy.
It was a joke, dude.
Oh, got it.
Axe him. Okay.
Let's go. I missed it completely.
Let's go, folks.
All right. So Battle for Azeroth is releasing on August 14th.
Yeah.
God, why do they do that? That's like right when I'm going back to work.
Because they don't give a fuck about you.
Exactly.
That's why.
Do you want to make progress in the real life?
Think about it. Nope. August 14th, BlizzCon is November. So this is going to be like BlizzCon is going to be about a month and a half after this. I wonder if it has something to do with that. There must be some reason they release in August.
Yeah, Blizzard always does things in certain times for a reason. So we'll find that out why.
So the big question is this going to be as big as the last expansion? Because that brought a lot of people back to WoW.
What is the Battle for Azeroth? What is...
Dude, it's the next WoW expansion.
I know that.
I don't know lore.
But the lore behind it, I never knew World of Warcraft lore, to be honest.
Well, there's a place called Azeroth, right? And they're going to fight over it.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's going to have to be a big battle of Azeroth. And then it's going to have something to do with orcs and a little bit to do with humans and...
Maybe some Alliance and Horde thing going on.
So there you go, guys.
At last BlizzCon, they played the trailer. People went nuts for it.
They went nuts. There
was some big deal about Sylvanas becoming the leader of the Horde.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Last I played was Burning Crusade, and that was, what's his name? Thrall? Thrall. That was the leader of the Horde.
Okay.
So I
feel
know
like there's so many good stories in the Warcraft universe, and I feel like with a movie, they just tried to do too much with it. They tried to, I don't know, they tried to pack too much in there. It's just like, Pick a small story.
I've actually been looking at getting into more fiction books, and I'm stuck between World of Warcraft or Warhammer 40K. I don't know which one I should delve into.
Well, one has 20 books, and the other one has like 200 books. So,
which one is the 20?
48. Warhammer.
Warhammer.
I'm sorry. The other way around.
Which ones are
Warcraft?
Are they all fan fiction books? Or are they legitimate?
Like legitimate.
Okay.
Hey guys, hit me up on Discord. Tell me what's a good series, Warhammer or Warcraft.
Well, what other fiction books have you read in the past and enjoyed?
Well, I'm really into like a lot of fantasy right now. I'm reading a nonfiction book. Emilio's been talking about it. He's talking about it recently. Bobby, you've read it as well. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh yeah.
I'm currently in the middle of that, about a third of the way through. But after that, I want to go back to some fiction just to get my mind off. Such a depressing topic, it seems.
Yeah,
that's some heavy stuff. Yeah. Not really depressing, but you know, it's
yeah, it's not really depressing, but yeah, it's
yeah. I don't know. I've never really read a lot of fantasy books aside from Star Wars. I got into all those Star Wars books, but everything's nullified now with all the new movies that they're making, which are like canon. So, like all the you know, Thrawn and what were those little like Worgen creatures they had? I can't remember.
In the movie?
No. There's a book that, a lot of books took place after Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and all that is, you know, not considered canon anymore. Yeah, Witcher books, we got a recommendation for those.
Yeah, I hear The Witcher's really good as well.
Yeah, that seems like
a large Have you played
universe.
The Witcher games?
I hate the third one. I like the first one.
Oh, that is really? So weird because the third is an amazing title. Yeah.
It's just the open worldness I don't like.
Okay.
Like the first one, I was a little more linear.
You probably played the game and realized it was going to take way too long to get through it. And then you instantly stamped it as a non-favorable title.
I put like 15 hours into it and I felt constrained the entire time.
Constrained by the open worldness?
Yeah. Yeah, funnily enough. Because I was like trying to beeline that game, go to the next like main mission. But then there was like, it would kind of stop you. It's like, hey, do this side quest first. And if you don't do the side quest, I'm going to make it harder for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, helpless people just.
Yeah, I don't care about them.
Looking for you to save them.
Yeah, it's no remorse.
He's not track minded.
That's why I like to follow up.
Gotta find my ex girlfriend. Fuck the shit out of her.
Fallout 4, though. That's why I like
that
one.
And then game over.
Because I beat that game in like 5 hours, and it didn't punish me for trying to beeline that game. I could just go from the main quest to main quest.
Well, I kind of understand your impression of Witcher 3. I had a very similar impression where I played it. I put at least 10 hours into it, but it was so immensely open world. Yeah. That I knew it was going to be an investment. I didn't dislike it in any sense. I just knew it was going to be an investment of time. Right. And so I kind of put it on the back burner and I'm like, hey, when I'm ready, I'll play it.
Yeah.
My favorite quest in that game was a side quest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of really good content.
Yeah, they're really obscure.
Witcher 3 is a really
fun.
Great game. Yeah. It's just not for me.
Yeah. I know.
I don't like Gwent, though. Or is it Gwent?
No, I never understood Gwent.
Yeah. And that's coming from a card game master.
Okay. Yeah.
Really?
Not yeah, master.
I mean, you kind of are, dude.
I mean, I don't like to shuffle my own deck.
We've all heard the story of Amelia the Magic Warrior.
Yeah. I went to a Grand Prix tournament. Oh, by the way, also Magic Tournament news. A girl won for the first time.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And it's a real girl that was born a girl.
Okay.
Good. I'll just ask you that.
Jesus. All right. I might get in trouble for this. But I based it on the photo of her. I didn't read the article.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't.
She's
know.
Very ladylike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, props to you, lady.
All right. Thank you, Cadillacs, for the $1 donation.
Thanks, buddy.
Big bucks.
I wish you would have donated more bullets to our fight when we were playing PUBG earlier, but, you know, that's cool. Didn't shoot a fucking bullet, dude.
Not one round?
Not one round.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he call the strats?
Mm-mm.
Did he call positions?
Mm-mm.
Did he share his loot? Cadillacs, you're fired. I'm kidding.
You owe me more than a dollar, dude, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, next game, Black Mesa is playable from start to finish. Yeah. So they completed the levels after Zen.
I put a question mark at the end of that because I saw that it said that Zen is now completable from start to finish. So okay. I know like the game was completable from start to Zen, and then they just came up with like Zen is now completable from start to finish. So does that mean the entire game is completable from start to finish? I don't know.
I think you come back from Zen,
you fight the last guy.
Yeah, okay.
Who's like, I never beat the game actually, but I did fight the last guy. He was like a
big baby monster.
Yeah, something.
Yeah,
that you bounce up on or something. Yeah. A lot
of
rockets
based on actual Gabe Newell's son, because he felt like having a baby was like the biggest travesty of life. It could like really just hinder everything.
Yeah.
So that's why he made it kind of like a baby.
Wow. That's a depressing look at parenthood.
Right? I'm not sure if I told you guys this already, but Sam, my girlfriend, went to school, and one of her teachers says that Gabe Newell like would not leave her alone in college.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We heard the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Cool story, bro.
Well, the one that got away, literally.
I wonder if I...
But is he, though? I mean, he's hideous.
I mean, $20, bro. I'd do it.
I'd rather worship the flying spaghetti monster.
I don't know if he's physically capable of doing anything sexually.
No, that's not true. I actually dated a really fat dude once. But we're not going to go into detail. Why?
Okay. I don't know.
Gee, we weren't going to tell them about us.
Fat dudes need love, too.
I know. That's what I've been saying.
Oh, boy. So I'm wondering if I reinstall Black Mesa, if it'll have my progress. Because I went through this entire game. It was fantastic, and I had no idea that it ended right at Zen. Even if they've completed Zen, I'd love to play through that part. But
you would hate to play all the way through again.
Yeah, I don't know about all the way through again. Yeah. You know, when Half-Life 2 came out, I played Opposing Force and Blue Shift like in a week. I played through all those in preparation for Half-Life 2. I was so excited.
But
oh my gosh. Speaking of excitement, when is this going to end? What are we going to do? We're going to say we love you, Neuber. If you can hear the money being thrown at us.
God, Neuber's I feel so bad.
Just outshining.
Yeah, Cadillacs gives us a dollar and I insult him and send them away. And then Neuber's like,
we need like a Neuber challenge or something. Like the next time Neuber donates to us, we're going to wax Emilio's back or something like that.
Yeah, I've already done the split, so someone else needs to
Who's
step
next?
In.
Who's next?
What interesting
next.
Talents.
I need to go get some track pants. That's what
just
I need
rip
to
them
do.
Off.
I'm just ready. Yeah,
I show them the thighs.
Oh yeah, the chungly thighs.
How many $20? Maybe $20 is $500.
We could easily invest this money into cosplaying.
Five times 25.
That's a lot.
I think it's about time we cosplay. 25
BJs right there.
25 BJs, and Neuber just purchased 25 BJs from.
Mini Del Matro is my name.
Yeah, Chad too.
Oh my gosh.
But again, we love you, Neuber.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. As far as the studio goes, a little update on that. So we got some new toys last time. Nothing new this week, but new headsets on the way. We got one new headset, and it's really
awesome, guys. It's really good.
I mean, I wouldn't know.
You guys should check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Sometimes you don't know how bad something is until you try something that's actually good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, so the headsets that we have, they do the job, but then once you get some good headsets, you're like, oh, this is what we should be using. So that, new screens, and I want to do some fancy lighting. Someone suggested these things called NanoLeaf. Let me bring those up here. NanoLeaf lighting. They look cool, but I don't know if we could really put them back here. Let me bring up a video.
Yeah, we could. God damn, that looks awesome.
I want to do like stage lighting, though, like directional light. Yeah, let's...
And you know what, Neuber? I'm going to lose 30 pounds for you, so you have something better to look at and on the camera. That's the very least I can do.
Maybe he likes thick girls.
Okay, I'm only bottom thick. The goal is to get top thin, bottom thick.
Okay, so chutney is what you're going for.
Yeah, exactly.
That is some cool lighting.
Or like a shuttlecock.
A shadow what?
A shuttlecock.
Okay. Yeah.
Shuttlecock?
Yeah. Shadowcock.
They're thick on the bottom and skinny on top.
Yeah, unless you turn it upside down.
Right, then we have trouble problems.
But I am a big fan of what I'm seeing on the screen. The NanoLeaf panels are the most legit of wall lighting that I've seen.
I like the dancing furniture in that.
Thanks, Neuber, for buying us NanoLeaf technology.
We're going to actually have to cover up. I think we need to cover up the red door. Yeah. Maybe get some panels, some sound.
I've got
deafening,
some sound.
Soundproofing.
Gee, it's called Red Door Productions. I don't know.
No, we got to look legit if we're going to get the nano lighting. So,
yeah,
NanoLeaf,
we need to put something behind there.
Exactly.
I actually found some soundproofing at work that we took down like years ago, and they've just been sitting around. They're kind of dull color. They look like this table. They're that same color. But we could use that just for a backdrop because I feel like we could be doing more back here.
And if you have no idea what we're talking about, don't forget to join us live on Twitch. We're horrible at announcing when we're going to record, but most of the time it's Sunday evenings, and it's twitch.tv/digital_logic.
And next week we're going to be giving away, I think, I haven't discussed this yet, but probably Steam gift cards. So,
Steam gift cards? I thought we were going to do shirts. I mean, we can do both.
We can do, either or. I think everybody wants Steam gift cards. That's the note. What do you want for Christmas, Bobby, if your family asks you?
I will never need Steam gift cards again. I've got like $800 on Steam because I've been selling my.
And you won't buy one game to play with me. Okay, cool.
Oh, God.
So glad.
I got to make it a
little. So glad.
Yeah.
All right. Last for what? It's never game. Better guns coming down?
They're probably.
Yeah, interesting.
All right. Well, this next game I'm very excited about. Now on Steam, Shenmue 1 and 2.
This is awesome. This is very exciting to see.
You don't know anything about this, do you?
Zero interest.
Are you talking to me? I'm like, please.
But Bob's lying over here.
Oh, no, I played Shenmue 1. Really? So I had some friends. You guys may know, may not. I'm not sure how big these guys are. They were called Mega 64. They're like a comedy group back even before YouTube.
I've heard of it.
Are they kind of like the Rooster Teeth?
Yeah, kind of like that. But this is like back before YouTube even existed. So
pure ponage.
They would do things like act out video games in real life. They do it in public, and it was kind of like a Jackass type thing where people, you know, people, the reactions of the people would be part of the video.
Okay.
But one of the games they did was Shenmue, which I was not familiar with. So I played it on Sega Saturn, Sega Dreamcast.
You played it in response to watching the video.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it looked ridiculous. This is one of those games that is notorious for having like dialogue. It's in English, but it was written by people from what, Japan?
Japan, yeah.
And the dialogue is absolutely terrible. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's bad. But it's a good RPG game, too.
Yeah, it's a very mediocre story, but good
for
RPG
its
elements.
Time.
Did you play all the way through, Bobby?
The RPG elements were amazing.
No, not through one.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that hot dog vendor. That guy always cracked me up. It's always the vendors of some sort.
You know what really screwed me up in the first Shenmue is in your diary.
The telephone numbers? That fucked me over pretty hard.
It was, he would always write tomorrow as T-O-M period, just abbreviating tomorrow.
Okay.
But there was also a character named Tom. So I didn't know if he was talking about tomorrow or the guy Tom. And it just screwed me up. I was like 15 when I was playing this game. I just didn't understand tomorrow or Tom, which one is he talking about?
There were some big issues with that game. There was a part in the game where, I don't know, these guys were like harassing a woman. Like, I can't remember if they were like physically assaulting her or what was going on, but main character walks up and he's like, this is his line, verbatim. Hey guys, don't you know blackmail is way uncool? Like, that's the line. I was just like, what the fuck? I didn't think it was real. I was so confused. Like, nowadays you see weird shit like that all the time. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but to see this in a video game back then, I was so
conversationally
confused.
And I know you've never played the Final Fantasy games, but that was virtually expected when it came to RPGs in the past. Maybe it's lost in translation, or perhaps it's just because they have so many different scripts and different lines for these people to say that the quality, it was more there was more quantity than quality, perhaps, in that scenario.
I remember the fighting in this game being very clunky. And it felt like kind of like a Virtua Fighter type clunky. You guys play that, right?
Virtua Fighter?
Yeah. So it felt like that, but just like less responsive. I don't know what engine this ran on, but it was like some kind of Sega. Actually, might have been on the same engine. Now I think about it, made by Sega.
So are you guys going to buy this game and play it?
If the price is right, I will.
Yeah, they haven't. They just said it's available in 2018. It's not out yet. They have no price for it.
What would be a right price?
$5.
Oh, no, for me, I'd probably go up to 20 for each game.
For each game. It looks like they're going to sell them as a bundle.
Yeah, so up to $40 would be anything. $50, $60 would be too much.
This is a guy who said Sonic the Hedgehog is his favorite game ever, and he didn't pay $20 for.
I don't think you understand how much dick I had to suck to buy that Sonic. I was so broke at that time.
You could have asked me for the money or Noober.
That was way before we were doing this.
Yeah, well, I don't know. This is one of those games where I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, that was hilarious, and then I'm going to play it for 5 minutes and be totally
God,
over
I hope
it.
Not. I just remember, you know, nostalgia. Nostalgia has no meaning to Emilio.
Nope.
But for me, I just remember having so much fun with this game as a kid.
If there was a pixel monster, it looks like he just threw up on the screen. That's what the graphics are.
Yeah,
like.
The graphics are. Well, this game.
Or, I'm released, sorry, it took a shit.
This game was released in, 2000, maybe?
This,
yeah.
I mean, it was Sega Dreamcast, so, yeah, it had to have been, 2000 or maybe 99. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast came out in 98.
In 99.
Oh, okay. It was 1999. Yeah. I had one of those original ones where you could run cracked games on it.
Yeah.
So somebody made a disc or an image that you could burn to a disc, and it had every single Nintendo game on it. Yeah. Had that. And I pretty much got every Dreamcast game for free because I could go online and download them. But you can only do that with the old Dreamcasts.
Thank God you paid for physical copies of each one of those, right? Mm-hmm. You just liked it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Just did it for the convenience.
Storage space, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when you just get so many games like that because then you just never know what to play.
Right.
All right. So another game, M. Polo brought this up in listener questions on our Discord, but I figured we'd bring it up here and on the radar. Radical Heights. So this is a new Battle Royale game that was announced by Boss Key, Cliff Bleszinski's company. He was formerly with Epic, worked on those Gears of War games, had a lot of success with that.
Also behind, is he the one behind Lawbreakers? Because I knew.
Yes. Yeah, Lawbreakers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he left, he made his own studio, Boss Key. Their first game was Lawbreakers. Didn't do too well, was not the right environment.
Who's the guy that's doing this? It's not Cliff.
Cliff. Yeah.
Cliff is such a dick, isn't he?
No, well, I don't know. Not in my experience.
Well, I don't know. If
all the interviews I've ever seen him on.
If he were, would you like to suck it?
If he has $20,
it doesn't matter who you are. Going back to that, I'm so confused. I'm
I need money. Shut up.
So, Radical Heights, what do you know about it, Bobby?
I know very little about it. I'm just now listening through a lot of my podcasts. I took a break listening to a book. So now I'm going through all these old podcasts, and I'm on the PC Gamer one. I'm actually in the middle of it where they're talking about it.
Yeah.
So it's just another Battle Royale game. They're trying to hop on the train. It's in very early access. I hear there's not a lot finished about it. Like, it's pretty rough in its current state.
Here's the thing about Radical Heights. I haven't played it because... honestly, no Battle Royale game is worth me downloading, installing, or updating and playing for my mood. Not because they're bad games, but I'm currently burnt out on Battle Royale. Unless DayZ makes a comeback, and actually there might be a game that might be making a comeback. But that's further down the road. Radical Heights is a free-to-play Battle Royale, and it is a little bit clunky, and you might encounter some bots. The gameplay that I was watching of this game, it's a cash flow heavy type of battle royale. So you are earning cash through all of your actions. You're finding cash and you're using this money, and it's got this very GTA casino vibe to it.
It looks very synthwave, like 80s futurism, right?
Yeah, absolutely, that too. And you use this in-game currency to unlock different cosmetics. So it's a very cosmetic-heavy game, which is cool. And then from what I understand, it's more of a strict grid. Instead of a blue storm closing in, it just locks up certain the square grids of the map. And that's what I know. And when you're jumping off the airplane, there's no parachute. So you're saving a lot of time. I don't think the maps are as big as what PUBG was. It's very colorful. It's free to play. Why not if you're a Battle Royale fan? But are you going to love it more than Fortnite and PUBG? Probably not. But it's fun, I imagine. Especially, it's maybe not for the gameplay, but for the cosmetic purposes.
They have BMX bikes. I am so in.
Yeah. I feel like...
It's a lot closer
it's like
to
Saints
Fortnite
Row meets Tony Hawk meets Battle Royale.
Nice.
Yeah.
Summed it up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
When you kill somebody, they explode in a pool of money as opposed to like picking up their loot. So I think you can probably spend that money in-game to get whatever you want, as opposed to just getting whatever they had on them.
Yeah.
So maybe as soon as you kill somebody, you can upgrade really quickly.
That's good, because that way, I don't know if you hold on to all of your money if you don't win, or if you save some money, at least you get something out of losing, because a lot of the Battle Royale games, you get jack shit. So I don't know the details on that. But that would be cool if you got a little bit of something every time.
And what's funny is like it's Radical Heights, and the other one was like gravity based. And he's obsessed, or they're obsessed with like doing things with verticality. And I think there's a lot of verticality going in this. I wouldn't be surprised. See, there's zip lines. There's double BMX jumps. bikes going backwards. There's
no fall damage in this game too.
Yeah, so. It's all about getting high and shooting rockets down, I think.
No, it seems like a really...
Oh, there's a Segway.
Uncanny game.
I mean, Segway the vehicle, not segwaying into another...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm like, where is there a Segway in that?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to try it out, guys. It is free to play. Hmm. And I bet you anything, you'll probably play more than one game. when it comes to trying out Radical Heights. I believe the quality is beyond just picking up, playing it, and then putting it in your uninstall bin.
I hear it's pretty rough right now, but hopefully it will improve.
So you can get the Founders Pack for $15. Not sure what that includes.
Exclusive cosmetics, I'm sure, and maybe a financial boost in the game.
Yeah, it might be a good one to play on the DLG game night.
Oh, yeah. That's up and coming, by the way. We don't have an official date, but we're hoping to squeeze one in. Can we, by the end of this episode, maybe make an official date so people know ahead of time?
Yeah, we sure
can. Okay, we'll see. By the end of this episode. Stay tuned.
And the only reason I brought up Ring of Elysium is because of Radical Heights. It's just another Battle Royale game. If you take a look at this game, it is exactly PUBG, but it's made by Tencent, which has Fnatic.
Heard that before? What's that? Tencent? I've heard Tencent before.
Tencent owns like 10% of China.
Oh.
So they're huge. They do a lot of things, but they've also, Tencent bought, I believe, rights to Smite in China, stuff like that. Anyway,
they're doing the Paragon thing too.
That could be them too. Yeah. So Tencent has a ton of money to throw at things. So right off the bat, the graphics are way better than PUBG, from what I've seen. But I mean, UI, guns, map, everything is almost like a direct ripoff of PUBG.
I noticed some difference, and that difference is there's a morning time stamp on the top left, so maybe you actually play into the night. So that would be interesting. Battle Royale with time lapse.
For sure. Or maybe like a morning map, a night map, and an afternoon map or something like that. Anyway, the graphics look a lot better than better than PUBG. It seems to play
as wonky as PUBG.
That looked pretty bad.
That's fitting.
Yeah. But from what I saw from the streamer that I was watching, it looked pretty good and it was playing smoothly. They don't have the player base yet. I don't know if they will get it. They're using hang gliders instead of parachutes. Which that might be the biggest things.
Much faster and much more maneuverable, it looks like.
But again, this all comes down to Blue Hole coming, you know, just landing on a giant whale and don't know what to do with it. And everybody else capitalizing on it. But to this date, I think, as far as money made, I think PUBG still makes the most money. But Fortnite's has more players now, which will eventually be more money. And then, you know, there's just improved versions of it coming out. Everybody's going to throw a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks. Will it be Radical Heights? Will it be Ring of Elysium? Who knows? It'll be something.
I think we've seen this over and over again with, I mean, MMOs did the same thing. We saw a bunch of copycats when those hit it big. MOBAs, same thing.
Are we not? And just like our Indian friends that took our DLG logo and name, they just.
I think these copycats are doing a lot better than our copycats.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't anticipate either of these two games we just talked about doing very well, Radical Heights or Ring of Elysium. The player base has already been established. Interest is already starting to fade in this genre. Not like it's going away anytime soon, but like it's already peaked.
Yeah, the hype is...
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna get any bigger than this. So I don't know. It's a bad time to enter this, but maybe there's still money.
How good is your predictability software, Bobby? Is there anything in the past that you've called out?
I mean, look at MOBAs. Look at what was the other example I gave? MMOs. You could even say the same thing to a certain extent with survival games. You know, survival games, they had their day in the sun, and then the Battle Royale was a new iteration of that. So I don't know. Unless a game comes to the table with something different, you know, something that innovates on top of this, I don't really see a whole lot of people flocking to it.
Well, from the video footage of Ring of Elysium, am I saying that right? It graphically looks significantly better than PUBG. And if it performs as well as PUBG on paper, why not play it if you're playing PUBG? That's what. Oh, I guess if you people play on the China servers anyways in PUBG, because I think people from China suck at the game. So if you want to start winning more battle royales, why not play Ring of Elysium? Elysium.
I might check it out.
I don't. I could not tell the difference between this and PUBG. This looks exactly like PUBG.
To mm-hmm. It's the Cardi B to the Nicki Minaj. I'm telling you.
I'll take Cardi B. Is she younger? Who's younger?
I don't know.
That's all it really comes down to.
Really?
I don't know who Cardi B is.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we have been playing.
Yeah, that was a long radar.
Yeah. We had a lot. A lot of games coming up. All right. I played a little bit of BioShock Infinite Burial at Sea. So someone had mentioned it on the Discord. I believe it was Marconius. It mentioned the BioShock series. I wanted to replay BioShock Infinite, but I was like, there's no way. I'm going to get 20 minutes into this game and be over it. And then I remembered I hadn't touched the DLC. Like, never touched it. So Burial at Sea was a two-part DLC that they came out for Infinite, and it's kind of like a prequel. So you remember Infinite took place in Colombia. We learned that there's multiple universes. Nothing matters.
I don't know if nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
Nothing. Not sure that's what they were pushing there.
Your choices don't matter.
Okay.
Your choices don't matter.
Still okay. They matter for the people.
That was the whole point of the
game. They matter for the people in that universe still.
Okay.
But in the grand scheme of things, maybe not.
Yeah. So Burial at Sea takes you back to Atlas. Is that what it was called? What was the underwater place?
Atlas was the guy's name.
Yeah, Atlas was the dude's name.
What? Called
Atlasville.
Rapture, yes.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it takes you back to Rapture.
That was close.
You're in that area, and the events take place before the first BioShock. So it's kind of a prequel to the first BioShock. And it was very cool to be back in that world again. The gameplay in the first episode so far is pretty slow. You're walking around. You're doing a lot of things. It's maybe like 20, 30 minutes before you even get to a point where you're starting to fight people, splicers. What's really cool is the first part of it, this is right before that big civil war between
That's Ryan pretty sweet.
And what's his name?
Yeah.
But you get to see Rapture just totally untarnished, like as it should be. And then
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then he sends you down to an area that he disconnected to Strand, the guy that was trying to lead the rebellion against him. And then you see all the stuff you're used to, the crazy what do they call those guys, the bad guys that are fiending for
splicers.
Yes.
Yeah, the splicers. Yeah,
you said it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know, it's cool to revisit that universe. Such a great game, all three of them. And the DLC looks to be pretty promising. Now, there is a third DLC, Cloud. I should probably pull this up.
And how much is the extra DLC costing you? So
did you buy the season pass, Bobby?
No, you actually owed me money like 6-7 years ago, and you bought this for me.
Oh,
nice. I can't remember why. But the yes,
was it $20? Because I could tell you why. That's called a callback, guys.
So Burial at Sea, episode 1 and 2. 1 is very short, 2 is a lot longer. Clash in the Cloud. So that was the DLC that was strictly combat.
Yeah, and it's like the has a lot to do with the rail sliding, if I remember right. Like, it's almost the way I remember them covering it. It was rail sliding exclusive. But I'm not sure.
Well, there was a lot of that. You had an open area where you were fighting several bad guys. It was almost kind of like wave survival, and you could use that movement ability to get around quickly, but you also had to pick up ammo. And a lot of people complained about BioShock Infinite that there wasn't enough combat in it, which is funny to me because it's like if you played System Shock, like that shit was really hardcore RPG and very little of the combat. But I think Clash in the Clouds was trying to address that. Now, Columbia's Finest, I'm not familiar with this. Oh, this is just equipment. That DLC, that's guns.
I've got a question. What's more quintessentially PC gaming? Is it the BioShock series or is it the Mass Effect series?
BioShock, because, well...
I don't know.
BioShock, because Mass Effect didn't make it to PC until... When did Mass Effect first make it to PC? It was a while.
Yeah, they were both console
Were they really?
Yeah, they were exclusive.
Never mind. Xbox. I retract my question, and I'll go flog myself for the next half hour.
Except Infinite. I think Infinite came out on both systems.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think BioShock came out sooner than Mass Effect on PC.
That's how little I know.
Me on that. Yeah, they're both console titles.
Console titles.
When was the last console you played or owned?
The last console I played or owned was probably the GameCube.
Okay.
Yeah. And we probably played a lot of...
Smash?
Yeah, Smash and the Mario Kart Switch.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun, actually. And I kind of want to buy the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
You cannot get a deal on that game. You cannot. Or that series. Or the console.
Oh, yeah. It's so exclusive.
$285 is the cheapest. And that's from Costco. It's rough, man. It's hard being a G out there on the streets.
All right. So, yeah.
Paying price is punishment for winning a console anyways, Emilio.
I know.
You can never complain about console money. How much did you invest recently? And
Well, that's coming up in the hardware. Thank
we'll
you
find
for the
out.
Segue.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right. So, yeah. I'm watching some footage from Burial at Sea, and they did such a good job because it starts out as this whole film noir thing. It was great. They did such a good job for it. I'm kind of sad we'll never see this series again.
God, really? I was definitely the same way, dude. When I heard that the studio went under, I was so sad.
Well, it didn't go under. I mean, they went out on a pretty good note. But it's really hard because they were one of those studios that were kind of in that middle spot. They weren't a big AAA developer and they weren't indie. You know, they were right in the middle, and that's the worst place to be. That's the most unprofitable place to be. Even though this game sold a bunch of copies, they're still not making nearly as much money as you know, one guy who just programmed everything by himself and made some cool game that a million people buy, or a AAA development team that puts all this effort and money in and sells billions of copies.
Right. I feel like their exit was more of a mic drop than it was getting fired.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know much about it.
Like Infinite. Boom.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to like Infinite. Oh, go fuck yourself.
It was a good game to go out on. I mean, Ken Levine did say he was going to start working on smaller games
type,
with a small studio, but we have yet to see anything from that. Although we did have some news about that a few weeks ago, didn't we? Like he had hinted at something.
Yeah.
I don't remember yesterday, so.
All right. Well, someone else better talk because I got some other stuff to go through, and I know you don't want to hear me keep talking.
I actually want to hear more about Far Cry 5 and Emilio's previous review on that.
So if you'll go back to last week, I shat on it for about 15 to 45 seconds and then praised it.
10 minutes.
And that praise continues to go on. Like, I'm just having so much fun.
And that's the general consensus from everybody else that's playing this game. So the fact that you initially shit on it really confused me.
Yeah.
What's an 82? I mean, this is the quintessential 82.
Right? But why do you play video games? To have fun. And I'm having a ton of fun. Like, more fun than I did in Skyrim, but I'll say Skyrim's a better game. Does that make any sense at all? Like, Skyrim's a better game because the everything was perfect about, or close to perfect about that game. But as far as just like having fun for fun's sake, this fucking just shoots it through the roof. The thing I wanted to bring up this week about Far Cry 5 was that the... the arcade. Did I talk about that last week?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. So arcade is kind of like in a lot of games where you make your own level and then people can play through it. And then the best ones go to the top and the worst ones go to the bottom. And it's a whole picking system. I had a lot of fun with that as well. And the assets that are available to you aren't just from Far Cry 5. I did talk about this week. Last week, I'm remembering that now. So I'll just cut it off and I'll go straight to... I need somebody to co-op with. So if somebody else buy this game, not many, because you're playing on a... That's a Mac 2? Microsoft?
Yeah, the Mac 2 is my...
The Mac 2? Yeah. So he can't play Far Cry 5.
I play a lot... emulated Nintendo games.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, keep reviewing those. I'm just having a ton of fun, and now we're getting into the silly shit, which is kind of cool too.
1060, you ass. 1070. It can run some games. Shut up. Don't be a dick.
I'm talking about your non-adoption of Windows 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
Mostly.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, this game, we established that last week, right?
I mean, no, I can play this on Windows 7. I just said I don't have Windows 10 just so I didn't have a reason, so I had a reason to not buy it.
I don't even like you right now. I don't understand, nor...
Well, Far Cry 5, especially from all of the great reviews, and I am huge on co-op. I might be your next potential co-op player to play this game.
Are there any other takers?
Can I get
anybody else?
You don't want to come?
Is there anybody else that I could get?
You don't want to end our friendship playing co-op with me? Is that what's going on? I'm pretty sure that's probably it.
Oh, totally, totally. But if there's anybody else, that'd be sweet too. Anyone? Bobby?
Neuber! Neuber's signing up. Play with Neuber. We have, and then we can bring Neuber on the show and interview him.
All right.
He could be our first listener.
Anything to keep me away from her. Yeah. Anything. No, I'm kidding.
Anything to not play with Chi, anything.
There is a fishing component, but I'm ignoring that 100%.
I love fishing in video games.
It's always a mini
game. It's a pretty good game.
Fishing
better
is
than Gwent, probably.
Yeah. Well, Gwent was too deep, I think. I think they just got too complicated. Or
it was a game within a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they launch their own game of Gwent?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so,
yeah.
I think it's still in beta.
That's awesome.
Go fuck itself.
Well, the reason why I'm offering my co-op time is because 60 hours later, I've finally kind of burnt myself out on my time at Porsche. It's been 2 weeks, 60 guys.
60 hours?
Yeah.
Holy good Lord.
I told you, I've been, like, my problem with gaming is I am an addict at heart. There's a reason why I don't do drugs. There's a reason why I can't smoke. There's a reason why I don't gamble. It's because I have a very addictive personality. And my time of Porsche was my last fix. I have not quite made it to the end of the first year. I am about a half a month away from finishing my first year in this game. But I did complete all of the available storyline that's available. And it's really neat because the development team sends you a letter in the mail letting you know, hey, you've made it to the end of the quest line. They're,
in-game
you know,
mail.
Yeah, in-game.
At first,
yeah.
I was like, no, home?
Definitely in-game mail. and they say, you know, stick around for future updates, et cetera, et cetera. Even though I've hit the end of the quest line, there's still plenty for me to do. I haven't gotten married in the game. I haven't upgraded my house in the game. And there are still a lot of things that you can participate in socially that would make it a lot of fun. I think at this point now, it's just going to be straight sim mode.
Okay, so questions. Yes. You've been playing the single player, right?
Yeah, there's no co-op. And this is a very like strict single player game.
It's like a happy game, like a game that, like, you know, it has, like, positive vibes and stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's adorable. Everyone in the game... It's definitely a PG, family-friendly type of title. Like all Harvest Moon games or Rune Factory games. And even Stardew Valley was very family-friendly.
Okay. So why have you not been streaming it?
As I mentioned last podcast, I said I've been in a very antisocial mood.
Okay.
In regards to my gaming.
Okay.
Which is why I'm not playing Battle Royale, which is why I kind of laid off of Counter-Strike. Just don't want to deal with people, except for fake people. The villagers of, Porsche.
Sometimes. But
so it's, and so that's what I'm doing, and that's what I did. I got a lot of single player in. Goodness in. And I'm really happy that I did. I know I had some sleepless nights playing this game, but I definitely enjoyed it and I will recommend it to anybody else. If you don't want to play an early access incomplete game, I do not recommend it quite yet. But if you want up to 60 hours of incomplete gameplay of enjoyment, at least, I recommend playing it. And everyone else that's played this game raves about it. All the same.
That's amazing. I haven't put 60 hours into a game since I was like unemployed when I was like 20 years old.
Well, I'm so poor, I practically am unemployed.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So my time at Porsche, $20, not a bad deal. I mean,
that's my price.
Yeah. It's the going rate around here.
Yeah, but can you last 60 hours though?
No.
This is making Bobby super uncomfortable. I'm just okay. All right, let's
60 right. seconds maybe.
Well, I wanted to talk about some Heroes of the Storm.
Is that a new game?
Yeah. Yeah, it's this new game.
Okay.
Thought I'd check it out this week. You know, dip my toe in it.
Sure.
The community has been very upset with Blizzard for a while about some things, and Blizzard has been kind of silent, which is very unusual for them. It's so weird for me to have a game where you can post something on Reddit and that could end up in the game. You could see that happen like a month later in the game. That's such a trip to me. And I feel like a lot of young people, they don't realize how cool that is. Cause I'm from a time when a game was a game and that's what you got, and you know, deal with it. But to see these changes that the community asked for and then they finally happen and to see them in game, that's just crazy. So anyway, they're making huge changes to this game. Blizzard finally came out. They said, all right, we hear you. You got a lot of complaints. We're going to do an AMA. We're going to make a post about it soon. Just hang on. And here's all the things that they're going to do. Finally, we're getting a third ban in draft, which I think is necessary. Does Smite, you've played Smite recently, right?
Yeah, but I didn't do any pick bans.
Okay,
why is a third ban important?
When you have enough heroes, it prevents you. So there's a big argument on whether this third ban should be at the top of the draft or in the middle of the draft. They're putting it in the middle, which is more of a strategic ban. If you see, oh, the draft is going this way, then you get that extra ban to prevent them from doing that. At the top, the bans are usually used for meta. Who's ever really powerful just gets banned right
away. Yeah, so right away. I like a middle ban.
Yeah, most people want it at the top, but I don't know. I'm going to see how this plays out.
What's the average bans between MOBAs?
Two?
I thought in Dota, for every other pick.
Bans.
Yeah, I thought for every other pick or for every pick you can choose a ban.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that,
there's
though.
There's like five bans in Dota, I think. There's like three at the top.
There's one for every pick, I believe.
There's a lot of bands in there, but they have like 120 or 30 heroes.
It's a natural progression. Jesus. The more heroes you have, the more bands you need.
You know what's awesome about those over 120 heroes? They're all unlocked as soon as you play the game. You don't have to pay for anything or put extra time or level up. You get to play the game as it's meant to be played, level zero.
Too bad it's harder than trigonometry.
And too bad nobody, and then like the community is so relentless and toxic that you're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah,
level zero Dota 2, you're gonna have a bad time.
It takes you a full second to turn your character around. It's like turning around a semi. It feels so clunky in that game. It drives me crazy. Even League, there, every single character has a delay on their auto attack, which in Heroes of the Storm Hammer does. Like, you have to click on someone, wait just a split second, attack comes out, and then you move. And I'm so used to being like click, 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 like doing that stutter step. But it takes a while for me to get back into League when I've been playing HOTS for so long. But I don't know what League does for their bans. But I don't know. I've been looking at so many different ways that they do drafts and bans, and that's such a strategic part of the game. So they're finally doing a third ban, which is going to be great. It's going to prevent all the same, you know, just seeing all the same heroes every single game. It'll be interesting to see what it does for the competitive scene as well. They're also doing MMR decay, which everyone has wanted for a long time, and that's probably healthy for any game.
Yeah.
So that's basically, if you don't play, your MMR goes down.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, in ranked, not in the other modes.
Because you're taking up room of people that are actively trying to get up there, right?
Is that for all ranks?
No, just for Hero League.
Okay.
I believe. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. All these complaints had to do with Hero League. So what people would do, they would get a very high rank, and then they'd just be like, great, not playing for the rest of the season. See ya. Then they'd come back, do their placement games, and hopefully place high. That's another problem they had, is the placement game. So at the beginning of every season, you play 10 games, and those really impact where you get ranked.
Overwatch, it was like that a lot, too. Or virtually in any game that you need a rank for, because the climb up is so hard.
Yeah.
And I imagine in HOTS, it's even harder without the MMR decay.
Yeah, it can be tough, but, you know, it's not impossible. So they're doing the decay. They're doing loss forgiveness. So if someone on your team leaves, then you lose less points.
Ooh,
these are all
good
things. This is like the wish list of Reddit that people have been complaining about for a year.
And all very sense. Much... standards and other standard MMOs that you find out there.
Yeah. And then hero swaps is something that they are not committed to yet, but they're going to try it out in unranked draft. And
how does that work?
It's just like in Smite. Remember in Smite where you you pick your characters and someone can say, hey, you know, let me play Ymir. So you click on a little button next to their name and says, so-and-so wants to trade you this hero for that hero. And you say, okay, and then you get that hero.
Oh, so you can get like high priority heroes.
Yeah. So like when you're doing the draft, then it doesn't.
It adds more strategy.
Less early toxicism. Yeah. Is that a word?
You want to get the best hero, but the person who's got the first pick doesn't have the best hero or they're not good at it. So you say, pick it anyway, switch with me later.
And Ditto too, I've seen so many people throw a game in the lobby, say raging because somebody else picked their hero or somebody made a horrible hero pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You go into the game and they are just not giving up on the fact that it was a bad comp or you stole their hero, and then they just throw the game, and that's, you know, you can lose during draft. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things that Blizzard has taken into account here is any of this going to cause, is it going to be a source of toxicity? And I give them a lot of credit for that and taking it slow on these decisions, because if you go back to the very first episode where I talked, not first episode of the show, but the first episode that I talked about Heroes of the Storm, like when I checked it out and I played it and I came back on the podcast and talked about it, I'll find that episode. It's out there somewhere. There were like three or four things. Like I had a list and I was like, these are why this game is totally great. And one of those things was Blizzard solved these problems at the root of the problem. They don't allow toxicity to build. They don't just say like, yeah, people can be dicks. Like they take away the ability for people to be dicks by doing certain things in the game. Like they design it in a way that prevents it, that solves it at the root of the problem. And one of those, so when they're talking about hero swaps like this, like I understand where they're coming from, but coming from Smite, where that was just something that was in there, it feels so weird that it's not in this game. And a lot of people got ideas like, you know, maybe instead of being able to swap heroes after you draft, swap position. So like, hey, now I can draft first. And that just, I don't know, that seems so weird to me. Like Smite did it just perfectly fine.
Right.
Nobody had a problem. It's like, swap a hero. You want to swap a hero? No? All right, cool.
Yeah.
It just, I don't understand why we need to have a discussion about it, but I don't know. That's just me coming from Smite. So yeah. Also, you can do less placement matches if you play continuously through ranked. You could do maybe one placement match and then you get right back in there. And new players can only place as high as Plat 5, so they got to work their way up. They don't just get put Diamond 3 and they can sit there forever. So a lot of really good things happening for that game. I'm excited.
Sounds like a bunch of no duh things.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly the sentiment of the community. We're just like, seriously, why this game's been out for 3 years.
Yeah.
We don't have these things. This is absurd.
Yeah, Blizzard is like, but you're still playing my game.
Yeah, sure. They do. I don't know.
You could go to Smite or Dota 2 if you got all these complaints, but you know what? You keep on coming back to me.
What they kept saying in the AMA was, it's a matter of priorities, and right now we're working on this and that. So, I mean, I understand, like, you can only get so much done.
Blizzard is probably saying, it's not like you paid for it. I'm just kidding. kidding.
But it's not like you paid for it.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's true.
Yeah.
We've got late shift.
Late shift, that's me again.
Oh, stop talking. All right, so I played Full Metal Furies.
Furies, right?
Furies, oh, I think. I might have spelled it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure it's Furies.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of chicks that decide to go against the Titans that took over the world. Story doesn't matter.
I think it is Furies.
That's Furies.
No, they're not Furies.
It's Fury. It's Furies. Right there. One R.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. One of the chick looks like an... I blinked too hard. She looked like an animal, so I was wrong about that one. Sorry.
So it's a side-scroller beat-em-up, but it has a lot of shit going for it. So there's four classes. Two of them are melee only, and the other two are ranged, kind of. Like a very cool kind of ranged, where you can, like... Yeah, you got to get people in the pie of your, like, circle of influence. So you do kind of have to aim, but not too much. Every button is used on the controller. So all the way around, you have four different attacks. Then you have a dash, and you have a super move. And it's really fun. It's a side-scroller beat-em-up, but, like, that sounds like I'm insulting the game. It has more going for it. It has roguelike elements. It has RPG elements. It just has a ton of shit going on. But at the same time, I could also recommend this for like somebody who's playing somebody who's with someone who it does not have a lot of experience with video games. Because I feel like if you just play, you're just going to get better. Even though if you don't understand the mechanics and you don't understand this, Sam and I are playing and she's having a great time. She's playing a tank character that has a shield. She doesn't really get the reflect mechanics, but they're just kind of working out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You can build your own build, or your guy's just going to level up either way. So there's two things going on. You get kind of XP for no matter what you do. And then you also get like XP for stuff that is hard to do. So whether you do those hard things or not, you're still going to level up. It's just slower.
This game looks like a lot of fun, man.
Dude, it's so much fun.
Is it online co-op?
I believe it has online, but then we'd all have to buy it. But I own it right now, and we can play it co-op whenever. It's
just got to drive down to Mexico.
A lot of great stuff. Just to like touch on the mechanics, like this is one of the many things. So my character is green, and hers is blue. Sometimes the characters come in with a blue shield or a green shield. I have to knock off the shield that's green before she can damage that character, and vice versa.
Gotcha.
This causes way more mayhem than you might think.
Because you have to rely on your teammate to do their job.
Exactly.
I don't remember what I did recently, but I failed to do my job, and and it never went up. Like, and it's so important in team-based games, and people, there's a lot of animosity there, I'm sure, between conflict of combat. I mean, conflict of player combat style.
So to sum this up, do your job. Anyway,
it's interesting. It's interesting that you found this game, and I'm excited that you did, because it reminds me a lot of Moon Hunters, where you get to
hunt cross moons?
Play different classes and go on a almost like a 2D moon fighting hunt? Plane. I'm sorry?
Moon Hunt?
Moon Hunters or Moon Hunt?
I'm just saying, do you hunt moons or what?
Oh, no. I spoke about this game a couple of podcasts ago when I was looking at co-op games to play with my siblings when I was back home in Minnesota, not Michigan. And this one here, it seems like a lot more fun. There's a lot more content to it. It's not as repetitive probably as Moon Hunters is. But it looks like a lot of fun but it has four locked classes. Moon Hunters had, I think, over 12 at least, but you had to unlock them through playthroughs of the game.
I think
not over 12, I think over 20.
I think they kept it down to four because the intermingling is so important in this game. Even if you play single players, you have to play as two players because all those mechanics are already built in. So
that's
you
cool.
can switch in the middle and then... Oh, a blue guy comes out, you switch to your blue character. But nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to play together.
I do have a question with this game. The RPG elements. In Moon Hunters, you got to go up to NPCs, talk to them, make decisions through conversation. What RPG elements are in this game in terms of story and how they push it?
The story, I keep clicking past. It just seems the writing doesn't seem very good at all.
Okay.
But yeah, you go up to NPCs and you have different strategies on how you're going to spend your money, basically. One of them is like blueprints would give you completely new abilities, or the other one is just like going up your skill tree like you would in WoW, where like there's three branching paths.
Mm-hmm.
So like looking at a WoW skill tree is kind of complex in its own, but then if you're going to add another thing over on the side where you're getting new abilities as well, like how do you spend those points? What's the best method? Who knows? Let's just roll the dice, and then you pay the money and you see how it works out. But you can't take shit back, as far as I know. Mm. And then when you get like fat loots, like you'll get a new character at your home base. So you start off with just one thing at your home base. Let's say it's the weapons dealer. But then after beating a certain boss, you'll now unlock the skills tree master.
That's really cool.
And then, and then eventually, it's kind of like Diablo, where you fill up the city with people that you've rescued. And I'm having a great time. Me and Sam are really enjoying this. We just don't have a lot of time to play.
This looks a lot like Castle Crashers.
Yeah, Castle Crashers. I would say that, but adding a lot more depth.
Yeah,
definitely. But here's the. I want to emphasize this. If you don't utilize the depth of this game, you can still be effective. Like, you can just go and just push X a bunch of times, and things will die as long as you hit the right color. But to what is it called? Easy to learn, hard, difficult to master.
Gotcha.
I would put that right there. And then that's what you want out of every game. So I really wanted all of us to play this. Maybe we'll play at our game night, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Full Metal Furies, $20. Yep. Now, you failed to mention something here that I think is very important. This is from the developers of Rogue Legacy, which is a fantastic roguelike. I don't even like roguelikes, and Rogue Legacy is just such a great game.
Is this roguelike at all?
Yeah, it has a roguelike and rogue... No, just roguelike parts in it, but it's not... It's definitely not the emphasis. Like, you don't start from scratch.
Yeah.
If you die on world 1-3, you're going to start at world 1-3. You don't start at 1-1 every time.
So it's almost like the classic Mario equation where you're moving from stage to stage, world to world. Okay.
Yep. There is some weird shit in here. Like, I went into some, like, dreamy world thing that, like, in the clouds, and it didn't make any sense. But we just finished World 1-1, so hopefully that shit will make more sense later. Right now, it made zero sense. We went up in the clouds. There was no bad guys. We tried to make sense. Shit. Didn't make any shit sense, and then we left.
Didn't make any shit.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm drunk. I had a drink before because she was late. I thought she was going to be here in a second, and then...
Nope. I ran in Chinatown.
And we're going to go for a record now. I think I've peed 3 times. I'm about to be a 4th time.
I'm about to fight for the bathroom right now.
Oh, go ahead first.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk about a game called Late Shift. Now, this was on the radar last week. I was very excited to play it.
And you said you were going to beat it.
Yeah, but this game's an hour long. I mean, it's not... Yeah, let me explain.
Oh, like, you did beat it, though.
Sort of.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this is a weird one. Buckle up. So it's an FMV game. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure type game.
By the way, for the listeners out there, and actually, I don't know what FMV stands for. So the whole entire time you guys were talking about it. Full motion view?
Video.
Back in the 90s, there were these games called FMV games. They weren't that great. There was a lot of bad acting and green screens. But basically, it was like someone put footage from a movie in your game, and then you did something, and it would play this footage or it would play that footage. There's not a lot of good examples. This, however, is the best version of that I've ever seen.
Damn.
It's done really well. And there's a lot else to it. So it doesn't even seem like an FMV game. It seems more like a Telltale game, where you're going along through this story, you're making decisions, and those decisions, they actually affect the story. Now, to a certain degree... I'm kind of used to this, where you make these decisions and these heavily story-driven games.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter, especially at the end. It all leads you to the same spot. However, in this game, that's not the case. I got maybe 45 minutes into the game, and then I started doing what I always do in these games. I just said, fuck it, I'm going to be the most violent person I possibly can.
just make all the bad decisions.
Yeah, just make all the worst decisions. And when I did that, I died. And then it said, well, you're dead. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, that was a shitty ending. That can't be it. And then it said, you've unlocked 1 out of 7 endings.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's several different endings here. And I don't know how far it splits. So when I play these types of games, I'm always looking for the design. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, oh, if I make this decision, then that takes me over here. And then this happens. Like, I'm trying to figure these games out. And the better that the game does at preventing me from figuring it out, the more enjoyable these are, then you can get lost in the story. So I'm on my second playthrough right now. I'm making different decisions. I'm trying to I'm trying to get the best ending I can, like, you know, get the money, get the girl, all that shit.
I'm surprised you lost patience and just started going with the most violent actions instead of going through
an authentic
experience. No. Oh, you just felt like doing that?
No, I do that in games just to kind of, like, see what happens.
Oh, okay.
I do a lot of weird shit in games just to see what happens.
So you were asking for the bad ending in a way.
Sort of. I mean, I just figured like I was trying to throw it a curveball. Like, okay, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to correct course now? You know, because a lot of these games, they just, you can make decisions, but eventually you always end up back in the same spot. So this game does that to a certain extent. Like, they move you from one scene to the other. You eventually get there, but different people could be involved, or things could play out differently. They must have shot so much footage for this, because there's a lot of places where the story can break in different directions. The acting is pretty good.
Okay.
They spent a lot of money filming this. Like, this... I'm so used to these FMV games that are just green screen and bad acting, like even cutscenes from back in the 90s. Like, they were just so terrible. This is like, I don't know. I mean,
at least Netflix quality.
Yeah, like Netflix quality. They even color graded it. It looks like kind of, it's got like an orange hue to it, like a music video. And they had expensive cars, expensive locations and sets. I mean, they're shooting like out in the, in actual locations, not using any green screens.
Do I remember this right, Bobby? Is it free?
No. This game is $12.99. Oh, it was on sale for $7 or $8.
Is this going to make a profit?
I don't know.
Or maybe it's like, I don't know.
It's somebody's fun money. I mean, look at all the fun money cars.
Yeah, it could be.
Fun Money Project.
They come up with, there's a lot of nice cars in this, and there's shots of them driving. Like, they actually took the time to do a good job on this. I've never played anything like this before, and that's, like, the best compliment I can give any game. Like, I'm always looking for something different. It pops up and gives you that decision, and they keep it very brief, because these things go fast. You got to make a decision quick. So there's none of that weird, awkward downtime where, like, the character's waiting for you to answer them. Like, you know, that.
And does it auto-choose an answer if you don't do it?
Things will happen if you don't make a decision. That's how I got shot.
I read an article about the Telltale Games where it said, basically, your decisions don't matter. And it just let the timer run out every single time. Mm-hmm. And it... the guy's outcome was not much different than him playing it straight through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you just let the timer run out. Your answers never say anything. But even it doesn't really matter, right? Isn't it more about the journey than the destination?
You know? But you want to feel like you have some agency in the game. And when you see, like I was saying earlier, when you see the design of the game and you realize, like, this decision doesn't matter, this one does, or if I make this decision, then this will happen. Like, when you start picking that apart and you see how the game works, you lose all sense of fantasy and the game becomes enjoyable. Someone in chat's mentioning... a few old FMV games from back in the day. Night Trap is one that I definitely remember. There was an article in this magazine that I used to read. Oh, God. I can't remember what the magazine's called, but we had to look it up one time because there's actually versions of it online. But there was a big deal about that game because there was, like, women in lingerie and they didn't want to sell it on the shelves. Yeah, it was on Sega CD. And I thought, oh, God, I got to get that game. That's going to be awesome. You go back and watch these FMV games. Burn Cycle is another good example. They look terrible by today's standards. But back then, it was like, holy shit, a video game that looks like a movie? It was kind of a big deal. But yeah, for $12.99, I totally recommend this. This would be a good game to stream. This would be a good game to play with somebody who doesn't really play video games. Like, this would just be a good game just to play on your own. I'm going to play this game through. Like, I'm on my second playthrough. I'm going to play through it probably another time. I just kind of want to see what other stories there are to discover.
If I were to stream this game, my stream title would be Late Shift Needs Another Asian Girl. And I would put a green screen on and I'd just throw myself in there. Just like recreate the game with myself driving a fun money car. That would be fun, actually. Yeah, but that's probably not going to happen. But who knows?
Yeah. I was impressed. I was talking about last week how I thought this game was just I thought it was a movie, like, on Steam.
That's awesome.
Didn't even realize it was a game.
It looks I'm glad that you like it, Bobby. Yeah, and it's something really that kind it. Of went outside of your predictability software.
Do you think there's a future for these types of games?
No, I don't think this is ushering in any new era of FMVs.
Could it have been the initial investment to produce this game would not outweigh the profit, being that it's very much a niche genre?
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. The business side of this type of stuff, I have no clue. So this game came out, Late Shift came out in April 18th, 2017. They have another game called The Bunker. It looks like it came out a year before. I imagine it's not as good. The reviews don't seem as good, but I would be interested, just based on Late Shift, I'd be interested in checking out anything else these guys did.
I'm glad that people are taking risks. And trying to push things in different directions.
And it's nice that their second release was more of a hit compared to the first one. That means they're improving.
Improving. Yeah, that's what, if you're not growing, you're dying. So yeah. Good on you. Keep it up. Hopefully you can stay afloat with what you're making at $12.99 a copy.
All right. I think that's all we got to talk about.
Yeah, for highlights.
And titties. Oh, wait. Oh, in that. Okay.
Yeah, just that section. Okay. Have you guys been following the BAFTA Awards, the British Game
I
Awards?
Saw that somebody had a... Was it Steam that had a sale of the BAFTAs?
Okay. Steam did. But before anybody answers, does anybody know who like pretty much ran the show? What game took everything?
Probably Call of the Wild, right?
It was Senua's Sacrifice.
Wow, good on them.
There was 17 categories, and they took five of them. The five being, I'll just read it off here. They got audio achievement, which, of course, I mean, that's great audio.
Fantastic.
They got artistic achievement, best British game, best performer being Melina Jurgens, I think her name was, the voice actor as well as the mocap actor.
So BAFTA isn't strictly a video game awards show. It's a cross multimedia awards show.
No, it's a game awards that focuses on all aspects of video games.
Okay.
And they also got Game Beyond Entertainment. So those are the five. And multiplayer, actually, Divinity Original Sin 2 took best multiplayer game.
Of course.
Yeah, amazing game. I mean, those are both of those games are something that we've always given a lot of praise to. So we know what we're talking about sometimes.
Guys, maybe I'm... Okay, never mind. I was crazy.
What? Skrillex is obviously hosting the BAFTA Awards, giving all the awards to Senua's Sacrifice. No, we're just watching a video and the guy looks like Skrillex. So, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good on them. It sounds like they were a little... biased.
It seems, I mean, they were, it's a British game and it was a British awards
but
show.
But it's a fantastic
it
game.
Is
I should have gave it Game of the Year, but I didn't.
I think it's just, it wasn't long enough.
Maybe
like 6 hours, but it was like a great 6 hours.
Sorry.
You hear all the dings.
That is Emilio's eighth ding, by the way. I've been counting.
All right. Also in the news.
Yeah. He's about to hit endgame with that fucking grind.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
So we've talked a little bit about this before, but now it's official that Billy Mitchell has been stripped from all of his awards. He was stripped from Guinness Book of World Records, and that's because Guinness goes off of Twin Galaxies. So they took Billy Mitchell's name off of all Twin Galaxies leaderboards, as well as not allowing him to participate in any future categories. So he's out of it.
Now, did anybody like read the whole thing?
I read this article.
Because I just want to make sure. That. So he was playing on non-official software.
Right.
The way I
understand an emulator.
And that emulator has more wiggle room for cheating?
A possibility for it, yes.
Okay. Mm. Without detection.
With harder to detect.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's not like he was caught cheating. It's like he was playing on software that is not allowed, and that alone disqualifies him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of
shouldn't have went third party. If he was that serious about the game, why not first party it?
Yeah.
It kind of makes me a bit sad because I always liked him. Like his personality, he seems like a really cool guy. He's a really well put together guy. Why are you looking at me like that?
Are you being sarcastic?
Not at all.
Whoa. No. This guy came off as the biggest douchebag I've ever seen.
That's what you got from him?
You got to watch out for documentaries, though, man. They'll just show you
the Okay, so side. Bobby, where are you on the douchebag versus cool guy?
I've never watched him on a documentary.
Dude, you can make anybody look like a douchebag. Holy shit.
Okay, so where do you fall? Where do you fall on the douchebag versus cool guy?
He's got good and bad parts to him. He was painted in a very negative light in Fistful of Quarters, the Donkey Kong movie. Did he cheat or not? I don't know. I feel like he was a very good video game player, arcade player, like back in the 80s. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the guy has talent. I don't particularly like his sense of style, but...
I like his hair and his beard. I envy both of those things.
I wonder if he were less douchey, they would have let him get away with it.
I never found him to be douchey, though.
I don't know what documentary you
watch. I don't watch documentaries. I've only read the interviews, seeing like the personal interviews, and never actually watched a documentary with him in it.
He's very he loves the camera.
Yeah,
and he loves to. He kind of seems fake. He comes off a little as fake when he's interacting with people, and he does a lot of things that just kind of seem disingenuous.
Fake so like I his could, scores,
and very very important combat from Twitch chat, Duck. Makes the comment that some of his posted scores were actually unachievable due to game code.
I think he's talking about the other guy that was caught cheating, though, not Billy Mitchell. Because I don't think anybody's ever been able to prove that Billy Mitchell hasn't, the scores that he got were impossible, but there was another guy that they were proven to be impossible.
Interesting.
How long until we got a Netflix Billy Mitchell documentary? Like it's
not going to happen.
If it's not coming soon,
totally
it's not
going to happen. Everybody would watch that. I mean, we had King of Kong. We had that other one about that.
Well, we have game. The number one. Good. We have the first Kickstarter here. Billy Mitchell's number one fan.
No.
Minnie Del Macho.
No.
Minnie Del Mitchell.
My documentary would be more exciting.
Later.
I was just offered food.
It was just a plate of food lingering in the doorway.
Here I don't know why you turned that down because I'll take that.
More eggs. Okay. Hey,
are they
that?
Eggs or is that a keto pancake?
I'm on egg diet. So
oh, yeah. It's a. Yeah, that's awesome. Sam, you're so awesome. Good. You guys, unless you were watching on Twitch, Sam actually opened the door and handed Emilio an omelet. That's badass.
So we're up to four peas and one dinner.
That was Todd Rogers, I think the guy that Doug is talking about. Todd Rogers was the guy that was proven to be impossible. That he got some game scores that were proven to be impossible.
Oh, okay. So debunked here.
But I don't know for sure. DLG. I don't know if Duck's talking about that, but I do remember hearing about that.
Okay. I don't know. I feel bad that like this guy, like, everyone just automatically assumes that the scores are ineligible based on his character. Like, I don't know.
But they are ineligible because of the
rules.
Well,
they're ineligible, but did he cheat? Because that's a big difference. At least
the way I see it, this is a clear case of what you were saying earlier. Make all these decisions, put all of this into it, and none of it actually matters. In the end, it didn't matter to him. I mean, he doesn't get the recognition if he deserves it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's had the recognition for 35 years. So
oh, okay.
I think he's had his...
He got his celebrity time in, yeah, and now he just needs...
He 15 minutes of fame. He's 35 years of fame. And he's just part of the scene, so we'll see him... we'll see him in more documentaries and all those Twin Galaxy events, I'm sure. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm reading Twitch chat.
Vermintide 2. Some more news on that one. In the 5 weeks that game's been out, it's surpassed 1 million players. So that game it launched hard. It's I think last week we were talking about that it's already surpassed Vermintide 1 in sales, and now it's surpassed 1 million players in sales. This game is obviously it's a great game. People are loving it. It's a really fun co-op game.
Awesome.
Bobby, did you ever pick it up?
No, not yet.
Okay, $800.
Bobby is not playing co-op right now, okay, and nobody wants to play co-op with me, so no point in picking up this game.
I'm not buying games that I'm not going to play. You figure out how to add.
Sorry, they don't have HOTS on Steam, Bobby.
He's
so
being a...
I don't know what you're going to do with $800.
With his Steam money right now.
No, I got the money, I just don't got
when
the
does
time.
That sell in?
He'd rather swim in his Steam credit than like Scrooge McDuck. Yep. Then buy.
If anyone has experience of adding games to their library that just get buried and forgotten, it would be me. Trust me, I don't need another one of those. $26.99. It's on sale
until the April 19th. So until Thursday, that is. It's 10% off.
I mean, you're saving yourself $3.
Yeah, it's a $30 game. It's pretty cheap. Yeah.
I do have a quick question for Bobby, since you mentioned this endless library of games you're not playing at all. Mm-hmm. Do you categorize your games at all in your Steam library?
There's too many to categorize. I mean, I kind of
do. You at least have a favorite section?
I have a favorite section, and I have a finished section. And
oh, that's cool.
I have other categories, but I don't pay attention to them. It's really the only two that matter are the favorites and the finished.
It's monotonous, dude. It's really hard to put games in categories. You have to, like, scroll down, find it, right-click, and then put it in the category. But then you don't start where you started. You start from the top of the list. It's terrible.
Yeah, if they had, like, a GUI interface, which is, like, you see, like, a grid of categories, you just drag and drop. That'd be much easier. But having to right-click.
I mean, you can always use the search box and find a game, but you have to know what you're looking for. Honestly, the best way to curate or to browse your collection is through Big Picture. Then you just search by genre. Like, that's honestly the best method for finding something that you're in the mood for. Like,
I just scroll my, I have my games listed by list. I believe when you click on view, you could see the thumbnails or have it as a list.
Right.
And so mine's really easy. It's just like scrolling up and down a web page, not difficult at all. As for categories that I have two favorites, of course. And then my second one is in queue. So the favorites are the games that I'm constantly installing, uninstalling, updating, playing. A lot of the social games like Counter-Strike, PUBG, those are up there in my favorites. Easy access, quick access. And then my in queue games are the games that I should be beating next. And that's how I organize my Steam library. That's it. So, I just, you know, I chunk it into maybe five to 10 games extra per category. And then I leave the excess in the library.
What about you, Minnie? Do you have categories?
I do. Maybe about once a year, I'll start organizing them depending on what games I buy that year. But I'd say about 70% of my library is organized, and I have about 400 games.
Damn, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, man. Yeah. Especially with a slow process.
Yeah.
I have favorites, Party Time, which is local co-op. I have Will Never Play Again.
I have that category.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. You put the time to put that in that category.
And then I have everything else.
You know you can just hide games in your library.
It could be a trash, just call it the trash can.
Yeah, but
the,
Bobby,
call the category the trash can.
They don't get the shame that they deserved if you delete them, right? Because nobody can see them. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. But off of this clean install, I'm going with this new strategy, guys. Hang with me here.
All right.
I'm only going to install two games at a time. One multiplayer, one single
player. That's not going to last you, please.
I'm going to try it. So right now it's Far Cry 5 and PUBG. We'll see where we go.
And you're going to delete everything else?
It's already gone. It's a fresh install.
Why would you put the extra time into uninstalling unless you were me and just don't have enough hard drive space?
It's a fresh install.
He just wiped his computer.
White computer.
I understand that. So you're saying you're only going to have one in one, install it at a time.
Right.
So why would you even take the time to uninstall games?
Because I beat one and then it's time to move on to the other.
But you should do that regardless. But to limit yourself to only have, the way I'm hearing it, it's like as soon as you decide you want to play a third game, you have to uninstall that last game.
No, I wouldn't, but until I beat it. Unless it's the multiplayer. Like, PUBG won't get deleted.
This is a habit that won't stick.
Okay.
My predictability software is predicting 100%.
We'll see.
Not going to stick.
So that means since PUBG's here, we can't play Vermintide 2 now?
Correct.
You dick.
Yeah, I know. Shit. Okay, now I got to
The wrong ways to play games,
you're 100% right.
Yes, the wrong way to play games, guys.
Now, everybody has their Steam library listed in a list view, right? Everybody here, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody has it in that grid view, like the whole, like, actual game
icons. No, I never
use
the grid. Sometimes I'll switch to the line item view so I can see if a game has cloud saving support. But other than that, no, just a list.
I want to know, like, anybody on Discord, let us know if you guys look at that that grid view, or anybody in Steam, because I don't know anybody that looks at that grid view.
She just say that she uses it?
No,
she doesn't.
Oh, okay.
I use a list.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. Bully Hunters, Come and Gone, Steel Series.
Yeah, so Bully Hunters was a group of gaming girls that got together to kind of defend each other. So if like a female was bullied on CSGO, the other bully hunters would come in and kill the other players by skill. So let's say somebody was calling Chi whatever, and then Chi
Silver called, pleb.
Yeah. And called, no, apparently they're pretty good, but I don't know. And Chi was offended, so she called the bully hunters. A bunch of female players would infiltrate the server and kill without remorse the other team. And that was supposed to be without like starting shit or anything like that. Just go in there, not flame, go in there and just destroy, right? On skill alone. It sounds very strange to me.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, it's weird.
Well, so Steel Series got behind it, right? And sponsored the whole movement because, you know, it's anti-bullying and it's pro-female and it's cool. I mean, I like the idea. It doesn't make a lot of sense because, like, it's a game about killing each other anyway. So one team, you're going to get killed. Why me getting killed by, I guess getting killed by girl makes you feel worse?
Did people go to bully hunters and pay these hunters to do this?
No, they were sponsored.
.org, so it's
they were sponsored.
Oh, they were just sponsored.
Yeah. At least, you know, their expenses were covered. The idea was, but this is what has happened. So their promotional video was actually pretty compelling. I was like, oh, shit, these people are going to go after some people. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's see what happens. Not less than 1 week later, it came out that, like, the people behind it, the females behind it have been, you know, flaming people and calling them homosexual slurs and all this stuff. And
yeah,
you know.
It's like the, I mean, it's like they're bullying the bullies, but
we're
then they're bullying. Yeah, they're
bullying. The
yeah, but dude, like I totally get, like being a female gamer on CSGO is rough, right, Chi?
Yeah.
It's got to be rough.
Yeah, but I, like there's different approaches, and if they had stuck to what they said they were going to be on paper, which is just go in there, be anti-bully, right. Just show kind of, you know, honestly, I don't think, I mean, I'm not an extreme feminist or anything at all, and I don't need some other girl playing my game for me to make me feel better about playing a fucking game. I'm sorry.
I don't think she'd play your game. I think she would join your team.
Just
and
join
help
my
you
team.
Win.
So basically, it's like paying a female carry.
Yeah, bringing in carries.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, I would sign up.
The sentiment's
for this.
Nice, right?
I think.
I don't know. You tell me.
Someone who has dealt with bullying. Severe bullying, like in real life and in video games.
Yeah.
I think there are appropriate approaches, and then there are approaches that, you know, are a little, in my opinion, this one here could have been, could, yeah, it was a setup for a disaster.
Thought out a little better, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I honestly would, I don't see this concept working in or sticking, and obviously it didn't. I didn't even know about this.
It didn't even make it to. It didn't even make it live. Like it never even went live.
Yeah,
but it was an idea. It got some press, and then people looked into the people behind it, and then you know, it's one of those things. I think maybe like a douchebag board would be even better, where like you just post shitty people being shitty. I don't know.
No, because then that would just all the toxic players,
so you like
people
it?
Who have complaints. Complaints.
Do you like toxicity?
No,
I think you. The way you talk about
well,
it.
First off, it's part of gaming.
No, it's
social
not.
Online gaming.
It doesn't have to be,
but it is an element of
sure.
it. Just like in high school, it's like going into high school and expecting not to get bullied.
Should it not be someday?
If we lived in a perfect world.
Okay. Should we not work towards a perfect world?
We should, and we should be very thoughtful about our approach to
I'm not
it.
Saying that, yeah, this approach was not the right way. I totally agree with you. But, I don't know, it sounds like you like the toxicity.
No, I deal with
you want to live in a toxic
city. I handle it well, and I obviously don't know. That's the first time I've heard of Bully Hunter, so I don't know the full concept of
it. Literally, it started last week and it ended this week.
Yeah,
so.
It just doesn't seem. I would not be an advocate for something like this. I would not.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
Cool.
All right, let's talk
that
about
does not
hardware.
Compute. Move on.
I don't know. It sounds like a publicity stunt to me. I don't know.
Yeah, but they you know, org, they weren't really trying to make a bunch of money.
Yeah, you can really applaud them and commend them for what their intent was, but execution obviously fell short.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, 100%. So hardware. We haven't had a hardware up. When's the last time? Who knows? Nothing, weeks and weeks.
Nothing big in a long time.
Yeah. So this is called Emilio's upgrade. It's because the reason I stopped playing PUBG, the reason I stopped streaming was that my frames were so low. And then those frames would be cut in half if I was streaming. So it was pretty bad. To give you an example, Far Cry 5, when I gave the review, I was getting 20 to 25 frames per second. PUBG in the plane, I'd be getting 15 to like 17 frames a second. Really bad. And then when I'm actually playing, it'd be somewhere around, you know, 20, 25. So you can't really play games online with that, those kind of frames. And they become not fun because you know you're not playing to your level of skill. Like, it doesn't matter how skilled you are when you're playing with those kind of frames. So I put out the fucking bat symbol, and Bobby answered the call. Bobby, so I told you that I was having bad frames. You said that on my computer. Can you go through what you did to, like, what was the first culprit, and then you worked your way down a list, right, until what happened? Just so the people out there that feel that they're having the same issues.
So I loaded up Far Cry 5. And yeah, you were getting like 20 to 30 frames. And you've got a 1080 Ti. So that was obviously an issue. What else did I check? I think I downloaded GPU-Z. I checked the temperatures. I checked the load on the graphics card. That obviously wasn't the bottleneck.
I think the first thing you checked, obviously, the drivers to make sure I was up to date,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah. you downloaded one of those, and then, because I guess I wasn't up to date.
Yeah, drivers, but that wouldn't explain such a decrease frame rate. Then I restarted the computer, checked the temperatures in the BIOS, and it said that your processor was running at 95 degrees Celsius, which is pretty damn hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the things around it weren't, right? Correct. The overall case
wasn't hot. The graphics card wasn't hot. So it was covered with a lot of dust. So we pulled it out. We blew it off. And we restarted it. And it was still idling at like 65 degrees Celsius, which should never happen. Your processor should not be that hot.
I've had some really dusty computers. Stalagmites.
Yeah.
Wait, that's bottom up?
Stalagmites.
This is the way I remember it. Sorry. I think I'm right.
Stalagmites.
I think it's stalactites, T for top, yes. Going down.
Yes,
correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
What did I even say?
Stalagmites. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if you have those, either one. If you have either one, it's bad.
Yeah.
Of dust?
Yeah.
In your PC?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Actually,
when was the last time you cleaned out your current PC?
Not too long ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm so much better with my current PC. Right. My old one, though, that's another story.
All right.
Go on, Bobby. Sorry.
Well, that was about it. I mean, once I saw that, I was like, well, we got an issue here. It's probably time for an upgrade anyway, because the processor you're running was my old processor from like 2012. It was an i7-3770.
That's what I'm running.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It runs fine, though. Like, I broadcast at like 6K... bits per second, and it runs like 30 frames straight.
I was you last week, but now I'm gonna sneer and look down at you.
Oh,
jeez.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, how can you play games? How can you play games like that?
Well, the temperature was probably a big factor. You're using the stock cooler on it, but also
I got water cooling,
you made
bitch.
A huge jump in the processor. You went from that to an i7-8700, and you also moved up to DDR4 memory.
I'm using a 5770. I'm sorry, 5770 is what I'm using
for a graphics card.
No,
for
a processor. A CPU.
Okay, yeah, a 3770 is like literally came out 2012.
We're focusing on me right now.
I just had to correct that. It was going to be a listener question later.
Yeah.
So I had
can you zoom in on me for the rest of the segment, Bobby? Thank you.
Oh,
Okay, we can go back to the other one.
No, we're just going to leave it there.
I'm uglier than I thought I was. And plus, Minnie's in the shot to making it worse. He's contaminating my close-up. Oh, Jesus
Christ. Oh, my gosh.
For more on this, go to twitch.tv/digital_logic. All right, Bobby.
All right. So we got the new gear in there. We set everything back up, and everything was running quite a bit better. Temperatures were normal. Now, you got a new case, which you didn't really need, but you thought it would be a good time to switch to that.
He saw my case and got jelly belly.
Well, he went with the gunmetal guy.
So he's not even denying. He's truly like, yes. True.
Yeah, I saw your case and I was sold. Is it the same case, Chi? Exactly?
No, it's not
same brand,
case.
Though.
Yeah, mine, I have the NZXT H440.
Okay.
Which is almost a complete perfect rectangle.
Yeah, and white, though.
And white, yeah.
Which is like very, like, nobody else in the space actually makes these, like, almost like Stormtrooper colors. And that's what really initially attracted me. But then I looked at the 410 and the gunmetal just sold me. It was just...
Oh, so you actually went with a darker color?
Yeah, I went with darker color. But I do like their stylings. And, I mean, that's really what you're paying for at this point.
I highly recommend anybody pick up an NZXT. They do so many things right with their cases. And they look just...
Yeah.
Super modern and clean.
Looks like Alienware.
And think about it this way. So I had a dust ball for a computer. Would I have paid $95 to get it cleaned out perfectly, every single square inch of dust? Probably. So why not just get a new case? Because I was upgrading anyway.
I would have done it for 20.
How much did the case? How much did the case cost?
40 for a cleaning and a boat job.
How much did the case run you? 100?
Yeah, 95, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 99.
It's a good price for a case.
Yeah, that is.
Now, they didn't have slots to mount 2.5-inch hard drives.
But it did, right?
Oh, it did.
Yeah, yeah.
In the hard drive trays.
Right.
But what I'm noticing a lot of cases doing now, which is a very cool design, is they put it behind the back wall, you know, where your motherboard goes.
Yeah.
On the other side of that wall, they have slots there, which is a great place to put. You know, usually that's taken up with a lot of cables from, you know, your power supply. If you're going to upgrade anything, it probably should be the power supply at this point, because you do not have a modular one, and that leaves a lot of extra cables hanging around.
Now, on the downside of this case, Bobby, why did you have me pick up the Cooler Master Hyper BR 1212E 20 PK R? This looks like a vision test to me. R2, I'm not doing it to be specific. I'm just calling out them for the long ass name. LED CPU cooler with, we're not done here yet, PW.
M.
M. L. E.
No, yeah. Just I mean, you don't fan. Even say all that. Stupid.
No, I know. I'm just poking fun at their super long name.
With four well, direct
they could have called it George.
I mean, it's like a Hyper 212E. But a lot of those things mean something, like what
gotcha.
It's a CPU cooler. So, like, it means those numbers can mean several things.
And like, this thing was like three times the size of the one that was built in.
Well, because you're using a stock CPU cooler. You almost never want to do that.
It's an air cooler?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave him two options. I gave him that and one of the Corsair self-contained water cooling ones, which is good, but probably not necessary if you're not overclocking.
Yeah.
So, they were the same price. I don't know why I went with one over the other.
No, they weren't. The okay. Corsair was like 50, 60 bucks. This one was 35. But yeah, I mean, it's doing a good job. It'll keep your processor a lot cooler than a stock cooler would be. Because you had talked about getting a case. And I said, honestly, a CPU cooler, an aftermarket CPU cooler, is a better use of money. So I would get that. But then you got both. So that's cool too. This case has a fan controller on the top of it, though. And that's it's nice to have that control over it. I mean, the low setting, you barely hear this thing. It's quiet.
That's
it's
awesome.
As quiet as our...
I wish my case had that.
Look at the NZXT.
Yeah,
hey, I was a trendsetter here, so...
You can buy them separate. I have a separate one, an LED that has, like, switches and knobs for the fans.
I used to be all about that shit when I built computers, like having all the little knobs and the dials and everything up front, but now it's... I don't know. I just... Go for that plain, simple look.
Gee, in all honesty, your computer like perked my interest. But then when I went to BlizzCon and there was an NXST like display. They
had ZXT?
They had a whole like thing there, and I got to see all their cases. I was like, okay, that's game over.
Right?
So,
I don't know. I still like Corsair cases. I like some.
Well, you like understated things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly picked my case because it looked like a portal turret. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
It looks good. The white. Yeah. Yeah, but the Corsair, they have that very black professional look that I like.
Yeah.
Bobby likes everything black. Too bad we never had the camera set up in your studio because.
Oh, we did from time to time.
So why didn't we? Why did you go with this processor specifically? And then you told me about the K version, and then
I gave you some options.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of times people ask about hardware, and people will be quick to jump like, "Oh, this is good, this is the best," and then like someone will say something else, and then they'll get into a big argument in the hardware section. Right. But after decades of building computers and advising people on them, I've learned that. It usually doesn't even matter. So I give people options. You know, the 8700 is a great processor. It's not able to overclock. It's got a 65 TDP, so it gets a little less hot. The 8700K, you can overclock. It gets a little hotter, got a little more juice. And I mean, from what I saw online, you can maybe get a little bit more performance. Even if you don't overclock, you can maybe get like 5% more performance out of it. But I mean,
you didn't tell me that. God damn it. I got to send this fucking thing back. 5%.
That was literally written in there.
I'm never going to overclock. So one. I knew this was even though it's only $50 difference.
Yeah.
I knew that was the choice for me.
Yeah. I mean, $50 for 5% increase, and you're probably going to upgrade again at some point anyway. And it's not like you're playing a game and you're like, I could be getting two more frames right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to make or break it. So yeah, I mean, $300 for an 8700 is a fantastic deal. That's going to be a processor that lasts you quite some time.
So let's talk about, the rubber meeting the road here. I've only played two games so far. One was Far Cry 5, where I was getting 20 frames ish, and now I'm somewhere around 80 frames per second, which is really nice. And then PUBG, like, that is almost like a quality of life thing, like playing Far Cry 5. Like, I could put it on easy and just play it through, and it would be fine. Now I'm playing on hard because everything's so much smoother, and I could just headshot everybody, and I'm just rolling right through, and it's fine. It sucks to say that, like, buying all this stuff actually makes your performance better, but it actually does. I got PUBG, downloaded it. The only reason I stopped playing, the only reason it wasn't fun, is because I knew that I wasn't living up to my potential. I was scoring way less than I should be because I was playing at 19, 20, 25 frames per second.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I was still playing, and I was still doing, I guess, kind of okay, but it was diminishing as my CPU was diminishing.
I honestly did not know you had that many issues with your frames.
And now that I'm back, bitches.
There are times where if my computer is not performing where I need it to be, I won't even play the game. Because if it's a part of the game, if it's on the development side, if it's on the server side, I get it. I can deal with the frustrations because it's out of my control.
Right.
But if it were my computer lacking, I would probably just ignore that game.
Right.
Just keep it uninstalled until I could play it. And it was like that throughout my evolution of PC gaming. If there was a new title that my computer couldn't handle and it enticed me, I wouldn't even bother to try to play it on a barely meets requirements computer. I would just wait.
Make sure that you were above the requirements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how the experience should
be. Some hardcore shit. She might be the most hardcore PC gamer here.
Not really, no.
No, in a way, though. In a way. I'm giving you a compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Except for Bobby, who is a computer. There's a huge difference. It's a chasm, really. And then in PUBG, it's like when I jumped out of the airplane when I was in the airplane, I was getting 19, maybe 15, 14, and now I'm getting 150 frames per second, even though my monitor can't support that. Doesn't really matter. like, it's fucking fantastic. I went in, I had a 2v1, how do you say it? Kill death ratio.
2-1?
2-1, which is pretty good for my first game out in 2 months, you know? I had a great time, and here we are. Thank you, Bobby, for all you contributed.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby.
Those motherfuckers I shot in the head do not thank you.
It's amazing. It's amazing having friends who are versed in computer hardware and can help you with computer dilemmas. I think when it comes to being on the market for a computer, a new PC, that's when I actually pay attention and try to learn about different components and doing my due diligence comparison shopping.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I have very little to add ever when it comes to hardware. And it's because I know I can trust the experts in that field. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So thank
what
you,
I say, at some point, I think I put it on Discord that, like, I think I could have figured it out on my own, but if you one knows a Jedi, one utilizes a Jedi.
Yeah, and you save so much time and money.
Yeah.
And plus, maybe you really enjoy helping others in that way, Bobby.
Yeah, I always like helping people with computers. You know what's funny? I'm at work, I'm sitting on 3 Samsung 860 Evos and some RAM upgrades. We've got these old MacBook Pros from like 2011, 2012. They have hard drives in them that are spinning disk, 5,400 RPM. They're so fucking slow.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a few people at work, and I was like, we really need to upgrade the hardware in there, blah, blah, blah. Got it okayed through finance, and then we got them in. I'm like, I got the parts in, like, we can do this. And these people are dragging their feet. I did this earlier in the year for some other people, and they were right on top of it. But these people are dragging their feet, and I'm just like, you have no idea how much easier your life is going to be when I put this shit in there. Like, I know it's kind of a hassle. Like, I got to take your computer for a while. We got to back up all your shit. I got to reinstall your shit. Like, I'm doing all the work. You're just going to be out your shit for a while. But, like, you have no idea. Going from a 5,400 RPM and then doubling your memory, like, going, they're using, like, 4 gigs of RAM.
They probably feel like, it's going to be beyond them. Like, everything else seems to be beyond them, right? Like,
They complain to me all the time about how slow their stuff is. And I'm like, I know. 5,400 RPM hard drive.
Yeah.
Like, running your operating system off that. That is insane.
Mm. Are they going to a SSD or 10K?
I think that's what's in my laptop, yeah. Which is really bad.
Yeah, a lot of laptops have that, which is terrible because laptops get moved around a lot. Spinning disks do not like that.
Yeah.
And they're just dirt slow. Like, it's bad. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's get to some listener questions. We've got quite a few. We've been going on a little long here, and we want to make sure we get this in. Someone else is going to have to read it. Because...
No, I don't. Basically, the important part is highlighted.
Okay. Okay, so Warconius asked, he was talking about playing Bioshock 2 and really enjoying it. Can you think of any other games that have much maligned sequels but are actually quite good in hindsight? So Bioshock 2, a lot of people, and I myself have kind of criticized it for this. It's not a bad game. A lot of people felt that it was unnecessary because one was just so great. Two comes out, it kind of feels like more of the same. Ken Levine is not the lead director on it. And then, of course, Infinite comes out and takes us to a whole new world with floating cities, and that's, you know, great in its own right. So two kind of seems like the bad one. But if you go back and play it, it's actually not a bad game.
And I'm a very good example of that, though, because I played Bioshock 1, loved it. When I was playing Bioshock 2, I fell off more than halfway into the game, but nothing really made me want to stick it out. And it's a reason why I haven't touched Infinite. Because I was
you've never played.
Under, you gotta play
I was
it.
Underwhelmed by Bioshock 2, so I it was hard to get any enthusiasm for Infinite.
Bobby, is Infinite better than 1?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah. Infinite's one of the best games I've ever played.
And I'm pretty sure I was playing these games on console. That might be another reason, too. I never really converted over to PC via Bioshock.
So good.
Okay.
Yeah, so sequels that... I know I can think of one. I mean, sequel, franchise, we'll let the definition slide a little bit here, but Duke Nukem Forever is a game that I often bring up as not being that bad. I mean, it's another one of those things where a lot of people think it was just such a terrible game, but they don't take it. Is that because of the game or because I bring it up so often?
The combination.
I played this game before I read the reviews, and I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. But then the reviews came out, and people were just so upset. And it was one of those expectation things. I mean, the game was in development for 12 years. It got tossed around to different development studios. They had teased it for so long that people thought it wasn't going to come out. And then it finally does, and it's average. You know, it's just a first-person shooter, nothing like amazing. And so people tore it to shreds. So, yeah, that would probably be my answer.
I'm going to have to go with Team Fortress 2. After playing I was obsessed with Team Fortress 1. When Team Fortress 2 came out and I played this cartoony thing that didn't really work 100% and was strange to me, I hated it and I didn't play it for another 6 months before I came back to it probably. And then, obviously it became the game that it was and is, but that was a work in progress. And
I don't know. I think people liked TF2 when it came out. That was a really popular game.
For me personally, it missed a boat.
From Team Fortress Classic.
I was looking for
more. There's very little. Can you say there's very little you can cross compare between the two games?
Basically two.
Maybe because they transformed it.
Yeah.
Perhaps
you're saying totally. Team Fortress 1 and 2 were nothing alike.
No, I'm not. I'm saying they're no. Of course, they're alike.
They play completely.
They play
completely different.
But it's like a whole new evolution when you think about Counter-Strike and the major, like very subtle differences for each supposed sequel that comes out for it. But then Team Fortress 2, it just seems. I don't think it's a completely different game, but the classes. Wait, no, it's more or less
completely different game.
The maps are exactly the same.
No, dude, it's so different. It's so
one
different.
Has grenades, the other doesn't. That's one different.
One has reloading, the other one, or one has like ammo count, the other one doesn't. And
yeah, I think they both had ammo count. Yeah, they both had a finite amount of ammunition. One had grenades, one didn't.
Dude. I'm not saying they're completely
they
different
were
games,
really
but
different.
It was definitely was
very
a transformational.
They were
type
very
of game.
Different. Very different.
I mean, if you're really into those games, then obviously you can pick out a bunch of differences.
But okay, I was really into those games.
The Witcher 3 and Super Mario 1 are very different. Those are very different games. Team Fortress 1,
not as much as
Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 1 and 2.
I mean, they're not exactly, they're not the identical game. But
I was looking for a sequel, and I got something that was inspired by the other.
Yeah.
That inspiration ended up being better than the first one.
Guys, you're going to love my answer.
Okay, let's go.
You're going to love this, Mini, because it wasn't before a PC game, but now it is. You can actually purchase it on Steam. But Final Fantasy X2, where you got to play. Okay, first off, I did not like Final Fantasy X. And it was mostly related to characters and storyline. But as soon as I played Final Fantasy X2, I fell in love with the game. And it's because it was just a completely different viewpoint. I grew to like somebody I didn't like at all, and that's surprising in a video game.
But
and the combat
10,
was good.
Did you play 10?
I did
all
not
the way
play.
Through?
No, I didn't. It's because the game.
Did you
really
play a little bit of 10?
Yeah, a little bit of 10.
All the way through that garbage game.
And then I played X2, and I really enjoyed it. Obviously, enough to write a fan fiction about it. But that's one of the sequels that you think would not live up to its hype, but I think it exceeded my expectations, and it was definitely a great game. And I believe on Steam right now you can purchase Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2 as a package deal. Bobby, you could probably confirm that for me. But if you've never played
Final Fantasy.
I know, but can you verify can you verify that?
By the way,
people can purchase the bundle.
Props to anybody that actually beat Final Fantasy X for being able to like sustain that amount of epic.
So strange.
Yes, and it's true. Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD remaster for $29.99.
Are you going to piggyback on that, or do you have something?
Verified. Even Duck in chat right now is saying it.
Many.
No, I was just going to say. What was that game with? Shepard and Seven and
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, Mass Effect too. Oh, two. Perfect sequel.
There's a lot of friends that actually played one and didn't like the second one, so I came into it with
your friends suck.
That's why they're no longer my friends.
No, I agree with you. I like two better than one.
Yeah, I think two was probably my favorite.
Everybody liked two better than one.
Yeah, two was amazing.
Hands down.
I guess it was just my shitty friends that were not my friends.
Wait, which one had the Mako?
The first one. The first.
Oh, I like that one better.
Shut up.
No, I did. I really liked the Mako.
Nobody liked that.
I liked it. I don't know.
This cup does not have hot coffee in it, but then I'm not saying I would splash your face with hot coffee, but that comet needs a splash in the face with hot coffee. Oh my gosh.
I feel like you guys went the wrong direction with this question. He's asking about games, sequels that came out that everybody disliked, but you thought were really good. And we talked about sequels that everybody liked, but we didn't like.
No, I don't think everybody liked X2, to be honest. I was trying to follow suit with this question.
We sometimes go off the rails.
But you guys don't play Final Fantasy, so you can't.
Nope. You know, hey, Bobby. This is our podcast. We answer things the way we like.
Oh, there you go. Fractured Butthole is a great answer.
Twitch chat has better answers than you guys.
Well, okay, Fractured Butthole is very true. I played through the entire sequel. I enjoyed it a lot. And it did not get the most raving reviews, but it was a great game.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go.
I want to play that game. I saw it on sale, and I'm like, God, if I had more time, I would buy that right now and play it. Like, I liked him. I like
you have $800. You can play it right now.
No, I can't. Because I got to go home, get this episode up, and then go to bed. Like, I have a serious problem with time right now. Yeah. It's getting pretty
money cool. Rich, but time poor, right, Bobby? Yeah. That was a great concept you brought up.
Yeah. Flying is commenting on my shirt here. This is a Jinx shirt. I don't know if they sell this anymore.
Oh, the skull dude?
Yeah,
the
skull Jinx. Jester? They're located here in Poway in San Diego. They're from here. But yeah, this is a great one. 80s style, Saved by the Bell kind of look. But yeah,
I great stuff about on that
the
Jinx brand.
Website. Free plug for them. They should sponsor us.
we don't need them. Neuber sponsors us.
That is
true. I'll wear whatever.
Well, we sell our own t-shirts. There's a conflict of interest there. Yeah. We sell 3 t-shirts a month, so.
Well, holler at Neuber one more time. He broke 2K with us. That's amazing.
All right. Drillbit asks, now that HTC has announced a new model of the Vive, are you more or less interested in jumping into VR?
It depends how much Neuber shows up to our streams.
Oh, please.
No,
the
totally.
The hardware is not what interests me. The games. Like, it's got to have good games. Like, mm-hmm. That's what's really going to compel me. Or not even games, but a use for it. Like, I really like the social aspect of it.
If we were ever to get a VR set, don't leave it with Emilio, because we're going to come back and it's going to be sticky.
From all the fun sweat I add all over it.
Sure.
No, it's true. I'm going to come all over this.
Oh, God. Bobby, with the baseball.
Bobby, you need to zoom in on yourself before you do the FaceTime.
My comments are a little too lewd for Bobby today, I think.
That would make $20 a lot easier to make if I could just have a VR set on my face.
Right.
That would make $20 a lot less demeaning to me.
Yeah, I get it. Like a virtual, like, all right.
Yeah, I could just, you know, picture a banana or something. It'd be a lot easier.
So much easier.
Oh, boy.
But I heard some not too great things about the Vive 2. Is that what they call it, the Vive 2? Whatever the second Vive iteration of the Vive is. I heard it's not that amazing.
Hmm. Well, like, out of the box, the way I understand it, it's wireless, which is huge.
Yeah.
Which the other one had, but you had to upgrade.
Game changer.
I think the main thing was the price, is that it doesn't come with any of the peripherals.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, but it sounded like they added a lot of things that were just needed. Better headset and wireless.
Is it wireless?
I'm pretty sure
Duck
it's
is saying it's not wireless.
I don't know. There was some... I don't think it was wireless, or not quite yet. I don't know. I don't pay attention to VR. It's like Final Fantasy to me.
Yeah, it doesn't come with.
He was discrediting my answer because
his opinions on it
about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, from what I hear, it doesn't come with like the sensors, and it doesn't come with the controller.
Why are we listening to a squadron of idiots?
That's so funny.
All right, next. Did I skip one? No. Next question. Warconius, again, asks, when the podcast blows up in popularity, which body part will you get plastic surgery on? Also,
stop there.
Will you name
stop there, because the other one's completely separate. I have a giant mole on the left side of my nose.
How is that?
So I'd like
I have
to
a
get,
baby mole. Like no, it's not a mole.
Yeah, I'd like to get rid of that. Mostly. Everything else is 100% perfect.
It's endearing.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
How is it the rest of his question completely separate?
My
completely
answer separate. Would be not because I'm on camera, but because I actually want this type of plastic surgery, and call me stereotypical, but I need eyelid surgery on my left eye. And it's not because of how I was born.
You want to get the fold done?
No. It's I have thyroid problems, and when I had Graves' disease, which was an hyperactive thyroid, my part of Graves' disease is having eyes that protrude out. So they my eyes used to like push out forward in my sockets, and then when I drank radioactive iodine.
What did you say? What?
Yeah, and destroyed my thyroid in my body. My eyes recessed back into their sockets because my disease wasn't pushing them out of my eye sockets anymore. And then, like, I guess one eye recessed further back than the other eye. So I have a naturally lazy lid. And if you look close enough, you'll see it. Yeah, please, Minnie. But it's one of my hugest insecurities because it wasn't a natural
deformation.
I wasn't born with it.
But nobody's ever noticed it ever, though.
I know you wouldn't unless I mentioned it, and it's
so
actually,
stop mentioning it.
And I basically am perpetually winking especially when I'm really tired because the muscles in my face get tired too, and my left eye will sink. No lie, guys, I actually am.
Isn't it always funny that
I'm chinking on one side of my face?
The things that people are most self-conscious about are the things that other people never notice.
It's true. Yeah. Duck thought that you were winking at him this whole time.
That's why he's been here.
Yeah. Minnie, you're perfect.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think so. Maybe not as perfect as Bobby, but I think
plastic surgery scares me, man. I would never want to go under a knife like that. Didn't Kanye West's mom? She died.
Yeah,
from plastic surgery.
Oh, wait, yeah. I got like two hairs. See those two hairs? I don't like those. I'm like.
She'd rather have
you don't
no
need
hairs?
Surgery for that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. That's the only thing I
can refer you to my laser doctor. We can take care of that.
That's the only thing.
Pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. But I've watched a lot of those like documentary or like shows about people who get like crazy plastic surgery and look like Ken dolls and robots. And I feel like they're always going to fall apart, and it creeps me out so much. Like I'm just like I would be scared to touch them.
Flying away says Bobby gets an extra pair of sideburns.
That's perfect.
It's so perfect. Like down his arms. Like, oh shit. Yeah, that's so manly.
Oh. And I am, and random listener question from chat. Since I wear glasses, they're asking if I'm nearsighted or farsighted. I am nearsighted, so I can't see anything further than 3 feet away. And I think Emilio is, and so is.
I have astigmatism.
Oh, so you're it's not an actual. Okay, yeah. I see.
I had laser eye surgery. That was crazy.
Oh, hell, you went under the knife.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that shit's crazy because they don't put you under for that.
Yeah, and
no.
They can't.
Well, they give you a bunch of Valium, so you really don't give a shit. You're like, go for it. And they put these clamps in your eyes that make your eyes pop out, and they put like a numbing agent in your eye. And I'm very like don't want to get something stuck in my eye, but they give you enough Valium that you don't give a shit. And then they actually cut part of your eye and flip it over. And when they flip it over, you're totally looking at them while this is happening. When they flip it over, everything goes blurry. You are literally blind. All you can kind of see is darkness and light. And the second they flipped it back over, the second they did that, I immediately noticed a difference. I could see like the lines in the doctor's face, like the wrinkles and the creases.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I could see all the details as soon as that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So laser eye surgery was definitely the right call for me.
You know what spoiled me ever getting LASIK surgery? For some reason, animal science teacher in high school, this is probably my sophomore year in high school, as a time killer, during our classroom, in our classroom, she put on a video of her doing LASIK eye surgery.
Oh,
so random. And so I got to see the entire procedure and
get over it and get it done.
And now I can't do it. No, I actually don't mind having glasses.
I got it done 20 years
it's
ago.
It's like an extension of me.
It was the best money I've ever spent.
Yeah.
Really?
Same with me. Yeah. It was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like
liberating.
It's like taking the bus to work and then all of a sudden you get a car. It's like, it just changes your life.
Yeah.
Like you use your eyes all the time.
I mean, I see perfectly fine with glasses on my face, and I don't mind glasses on my face. I feel like it's almost a vanity thing. Also a convenience thing too, I suppose, because without my glasses, I wouldn't be able to drive. So.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Best thing I ever did. I had the halos for a while after, they say if you see bright lights, especially at night, there'll be kind of a glare around it. It'll be fuzzy. They call it the halo. I had that a lot after I first got it done, and it slowly went away. It took a while for that to go away fully.
Okay. I went to surgery with 20/400 vision, which that means something that somebody sees at 20 feet, it seemed like 400 feet for me, even though it was at 20 feet. Yeah. And then when I woke up, I had 20/10 vision, which is better than 20/20.
Wow.
But now I'm like at, I don't know, 20/50, 20/60, because it's been 18 years.
So it
years.
Naturally deteriorates regardless.
But it's been 20 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A lot of people that get laser eye surgery done, they always say like, it's wearing off, or like my eyes are getting worse. And I'm sure that's happening to a lot of people. But there's also, you become acclimated to it. Like, I always think... I always think like, shit, I'm having trouble seeing stuff. Like, maybe my eyes are getting bad. But then I remember, like, I literally couldn't read a fucking road sign. Like, I remember sitting in my living room and I couldn't read the text on the, on the TV. Like, I had such bad vision.
No, like, my new vision, even deteriorated, is 100 times better than my old vision. But, you know, we do what we can.
All right.
All right. So, in a completely unrelated fashion, Warconius asks, also, what will you name your pet chimpanzee?
I would never have a chimpanzee because there's that lady that had one and ripped her fingers and her face off before it killed her.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So there's incredibly... Oh, and
it didn't
in
kill
chimpanzee
her. It didn't
news...
It did kill her, by the way. It ripped her friend's face off.
Oh, that's right.
And nearly killed her. But she got a face transplant.
And in chimpanzee news, Sam and I were talking about... Oh, boy, this is going to keep fracturing. We were talking about, like, how do chimpanzees deal with their dead, right? But that also led into, is your phone listening to you? Because it seems like whatever we're talking to, and then you start to Google something, like it comes up. I don't know if it's like we're looking for that. But anyway, so how do chimpanzees handle their dead?
I was talking to you about that 2 months ago. You said 2 weeks ago, you said I was paranoid.
Chimpanzees?
No, about the phone listening to you.
But it's fine because it helps me find my answer that I'm looking for.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah, right? Thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. It's just a couple steps ahead. So they fuck
good
it.
Good guy, Google.
They fuck it, tear it apart, and move on.
Are you serious?
That's how they do it.
Holy shit.
So I don't want one of those motherfuckers in my house. I don't. They rip. The reason they rip your fingers, genitals, and face off.
Holy God.
Yeah. Is because if they rip your fingers off, they lose their weapons. If they rip your genitals off, they can't rape you. And they rip your face off, you're probably going to die.
And that's why there's no zombie chimpanzee apocalypse. If you tear them apart, like right when they die, they can't come back as zombies. They're just paranoid about zombies. Chimps are paranoid about
zombies.
There'd
be a bunch of torsos attacking us, and we can handle that.
What would you think about a pet raccoon?
I was watching videos on them the other day. They fucking look awesome.
They do look awesome.
I'd rather a ferret, but yeah, I'll take a raccoon.
I've had a ferret. Yep. Ferrets are cool.
Damn.
They smell shitty, though.
I've heard.
That's annoying.
But they have a musk.
But pet chimpanzee's name, Demetrius.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
That's strange. Was that an ex-boyfriend?
Oh, in your face.
Just some guy that gave you $20.
Face.
I got $20 one time. It doesn't matter.
I got a smirk from Bobby at least.
No, I'm laughing about the name of the monkey. That's such a serious name for a chimpanzee.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't know, man.
Would you like a Bubbles or something, like a silly name?
I'd call mine Bonzo. A boo.
Bonzo?
A boo.
Bonzo after
I would call mine
movie.
A boo.
After what?
Bedtime for Bonzo?
Don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay. It was a movie Ronald Reagan was in.
Obviously, a boo was not a chimpanzee, but I would love to just call my pet monkey or what champ a boo. Like, just to have it.
After everything I just said, you guys are okay. Like, if you die, it's going to fuck you and tear you apart.
I do not want a chimpanzee at all. Oh, okay. He's asking me what I would name it, and it would be Demetrius.
I don't even have a dog or a cat. Well, why would I get a chimpanzee? That's insane.
So he could get you your Soylent from the refrigerator.
Yeah.
While you're gaming on HOTS.
Yeah, well, I can do that myself. No, the idea here is that we're making so much ludicrous money that we get a fashionable pet like a chimpanzee. And when we get tired of it, we leave it with someone else, and it rips their face off.
Oh,
then we
want
to look cool. And we want to just like, because that's how pets are, man. You're like, that would be really cool to have this as a pet. And then you're like, you get over having a pet pretty quickly, I feel like, after you had it for a while, when you have to deal with all the things. But when you're famous, you can have a pet for just the good parts, and then you can give it to somebody else for all the bad stuff. Like, you clean up its poop and all that.
It's like, so when Vice, I don't know, was maybe 2 years old, they did a special on like the Arab Emirates. I don't know if I said that right.
United Arab Emirates?
Yeah. And they have so much fucking money, Emirates. But they can't like party like a rock star because they can't do alcohol or drugs or have the ladies. So what they do is they spend their money on cars and exotic animals.
Oh.
And they would have their Filipino immigrants take care of exotic animals. And so they would be like, oh, yeah, it's super dangerous, blah, 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 blah. And then it's one of those things where like, the special ended, and then like the words came up afterwards, and it says, shortly after we filmed this, the prince that we were talking to, his cheetahs tore his Filipino lady take care apart, and is now under trial. And I was like, wow.
Dang.
Yeah. So that happened.
Yep. All right. Next question.
Can we please move on?
Flying
Damn,
Hawaiian
that
asks,
got morbid.
Let's see. I have a question for Bobby. Why you know PUBG? Also, is China number one?
He. By the way, he's fucking 6 months old. Late to this party. Like he thinks he's making. Did you guys see his PUBG video that he posted?
Yeah.
He's making PUBG videos. He's streaming PUBG. It's like it just came out. And by the way, if I personal message you, it's pretty important. Like, I'm pretty famous over here. I was like, hey, bro, I know this is right up your alley. Why aren't you playing this? And now it's his life. So anyway, answer the question, I guess, Bobby. You don't have to,
PUBG?
Though.
I played PUBG. I played it a little bit. Not my thing. Didn't like it. I even streamed it when I first played it. Jens was there. He saw the whole thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's just I'm not into that game, and I can't force it. I can't make myself like it.
And on that note, I did want to add that now that my the reason I wasn't streaming is because of my rig. Now that everything's working, I'm going to be streaming. I'm going to be partying.
Streaming
I'm going to be
over Wi-Fi.
Game. Yep.
By the way, and this reminds me to reference back on something I said in regards to bringing DayZ back. There's this game that's been out for a while, or maybe it's just in early access. Can you look up Infestation?
Infestation,
and it had some reference to DayZ, but I imagine it's very much a DayZ game. If not, so it's called Infestation, the new Z, and it's a free-to-play game. It looks a lot like, it's so old too, which is probably a copycat. I'm sorry. So this was a copycat probably of DayZ.
Wait, was this Infestation Survival Tales, like that game that was so bad? When DayZ came out, there was that copycat game that was so horrendously bad. Like it got all this publicity.
Maybe. I don't remember this.
Is anybody still playing this?
Did you just bring up the worst thing that's ever existed?
I mean, I think so.
Yeah, Survivor's.
No, this is something. Survivor that's Swords. Something else.
Yeah. Okay.
But apparently, Infestation, the Newsy. People were playing it on Twitch. It had a whole bunch of viewers, and I looked at it thinking, oh, is this a new release for DayZ? No, it's not a new release. It's an old release. It was probably a copycat with very mixed reviews. Forget I brought it up. Hmm. Yeah, we could leave it in 2016.
I don't know. I got a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of these Battle Royale games. We already are.
We already are.
Yeah, but as Bobby said, I think we've peaked and we're on our way down. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. What are we playing next week, folks? Jeez, I don't know. $800. is there any $600 game killer apps out there that I?
You guys just don't get it. It's not a money thing. Like, I can buy these games. I'm not going to play them. I did that for years. I bought games and never played them.
With me, I am going to just make it a surprise again. Last time I said I was going to leave it as a surprise, I put 60 hours into my time at Porsche. So yeah. Now that I'm basically done with that, we'll see what goes up.
Many?
I have no idea. I really didn't play anything. I played some HOTS this week, and that's about it. And I can't think of anything that I'm looking to play this next week. Probably maybe more Vermintide.
Wow, he sounds like a lot of dedicated PC gamers over here.
It's just been a weird week, you know.
So what is the third game you're going to install in your new rig, though,
Emilio? No, zero third games. I'm going to... Bobby?
sure.
So you don't know, or just you mean HOTS is what you mean?
Well, I've got two league games this week. I am playing in the NGS, so you can watch me and my team play there.
What
is the NGS?
Yeah, what is it?
Nexus Gaming League. So It's a league format game. they split you up into divisions, people of equal skill, and you play once or twice a week, and then, you know, you can make it to the playoffs. My next game is going to be on Tuesday when this comes out, so you could tune in to... I have no idea who will be streaming.
Bobby, what do you think of your teammates?
They're good. we've been practicing a lot, and we're actually getting better.
Oh, good.
The team that we're playing on Tuesday is not good. I anticipate 2 wins from there. Saturday should be a little tighter of a match. We'll see.
And this is a third-party ranking, right?
Third-party ranking?
Like, it's somebody outside of Blizzard, and it's not nothing official.
Yeah. This is all like an amateur scene. People put it together. Yeah. But we've been practicing like every single night, pretty much got practice or a game. So we've been getting a little more cohesive, and I'm excited.
Is this NGS, is that kind of the equivalent of ESEA for CSGO?
I don't think it's
a very trusted. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not that big. No. Okay. These are people who just kind of put it together on their own. But they did a pretty good job. So, I mean, I'll be doing that. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of HOTS, and that's been taking my time away from other things. But I really do want to discover something new. I was pleasantly surprised by Late Shift this week, and I want to recapture that with some other game.
Quick question. Did you kiss the Asian girl, Bobby?
Yeah. Well,
he was the most violent, so he punched her in the face.
Oh, wait, that's not an option.
You only get two options. I tried, but then she shut me down.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
standard issues.
It's stupid. I don't want to spoil it, but she kisses you, and then it's like, then it gives you the option to like kiss her back or don't.
Be like, nah. So I was like, you lost your chance.
So I said, yep, let's do it. And then you go in for the kiss, and she's like, we don't have time for that. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yep.
Oh man.
So I don't know, like. Maybe I'll get Flashpoint Rescue. I mean, $20, I'll take a chance on that.
Ooh, that's a steep price. That's their previous game, right? Flashpoint Rescue is
the game the beginning. Yeah.
Gotcha, game that you were asking Bobby to play co-op.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Wait, Battletech just came out, I think.
Yeah, so Battletech.
I might be picking that up.
Yeah, it looks good.
I will definitely be playing God of War, but... this isn't PC a console.
It's big enough. I would say it's okay.
God of War.
Just because we're never going to get it on PC.
Yeah.
Never going to get it. Never going
to get it. It's all right. PC so gamers can generally also afford consoles. So It's all about playing the good games, too.
Is that a wrap?
What are you playing? Yep. Did you say something?
I don't know. Okay. Oh, I'm Far Cry 5 and PUBG because I only have two games.
PUBG?
PUBG.
PUBG. It's the porn parody.
Okay.
PUBG.
Cool.
Yep.
Comes with VR.
How many people are actually going to go Google that now?
PUBG?
Yeah.
Oh, it exists. Oh, if I thought it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Or if I said it on accident, it exists. All right. So, so Manny said he never heard any of my impressions before. So I'm going to start with Jar Jar Binks, I guess.
Hello, boys. Speaking for Bobby, G, Bobby, and myself. Oh, I saw Bobby twice.
fucking new Chad. All right, just stick with that. It's easier for you.
New Chad.
Did you say Chad?
$20 titties.
Dun, 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 dun. Did you actually say Chad, though?
No, I said Bobby twice.
Oh,
and he's
okay.
Like, just call me Bobby. Hey, is this over the music, Bobby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is super professional, then.
It's totally professional.
It sounds kind of nice. I listened to the last podcast and we did that.